It's Friday!
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We are off and running for the seventh day of August, 2020. Friday on the front porch on the horn, the close of the first full week of August, 2020. And a lovely day it was here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan. The sun broke through the clouds, really? You can tell what's on my mind. I can't get the picture of that North Paulding High School hallway out of my head. But in terms of photos that I can't get out of my head, it's better that than the other photo I can't get out of my head, and that, of course, being the ever-so-skeevy Jerry Falwell Jr. And oh, dear me. Hi, I'm Bob. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. Because without you, the program just simply does not exist. It doesn't happen. Because, well, we're not selling any ads or anything. Because it's not that kind of program. So thanks go out to our seventh day of the month subscribers. Thank you very kindly to James in Illinois. Thank you to Brock. Thanks to Reed. Thank you very kindly to... let's see. No, that was yesterday. All right. And thank you very kindly to our buddy, Les. Les jumped in overnight and got us down to what would have been, last night, 385. And so the fundraising goal to finish the week is at $585. And that's scary. Because we have a crippling boatload of bills that are hanging over the program's head. So, yeah, $585, and that gets us to the end of the week. That gets us, done with. So, let's see, that would be all of today, all of yesterday, and $185 of Wednesday. So, we'll just cross our fingers and hope for the best. If you'd like to participate and be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that takes place during our Friday programs, well, there's a big banner at the top of headon.live, and if you just click on it, it'll take you right into over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable at whose head Sparky sits. Although, I don't know if you can't really have the head. That's the whole point of a round table. There's no head of the table. But, well, Sparky manages and has moderated the Extraordinary Ordinary Round Table discussion for, lo, these many years. So, click on that. Let's let's get the conversation started. Ralphs is going to get us started with a $25 challenge. In other words, Ralphs will double the next $25 that comes in, and that'll get us down to $535 if somebody's got $25 laying around. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly indeed. rather badly necessary that we, you know, because this program can go away rather quickly. And I added it up, you know, the first of the month bills come in around, $1,500. And then there's the middle of the month and the end of the month and, right. So hopefully Ralph's challenge will be responded to. And hopefully we will have a rousing Jim Dandy-fine conversation in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, Old Holler Tree, getting started here in about 55 minutes or so. Brother Deacon Asa letting me know we are 9 by 9 by 9. That, of course, a memorial reference to Herb Kane, so named by Godzilla from Wasilla. Herb. Yeah. Where to go? This is interesting. Our dear friend Jude in the Great Northwest enlisted the help of another dear friend, Juanita, down in Florida. And they have been tireless in their efforts to find out where Sean Foicht, the super spreader, is trying to get the disease a good foothold in Seattle on August the 9th, because his schedule just said, you know, nothing. It just said Seattle, August 9th. Well, Juanita went digging around, Jude tells me, and found out that Sean Foicht, for those of you in Washington State who want to alert, say, Jay Inslee, the Seattle Police Department, Mayor of Seattle, what have you, Washington Attorney General, the prosecutor there in King County. Interesting place to gather maskless, Jude says, as Cal Anderson Park was the epicenter of Seattle's Capitol Hill and the Black Lives Matter protests. All the 7 times the boots and flowers were present there, everyone wore masks. Jude referring to the boots and flowers of women standing. Cal Anderson Park sits across the street and down a half block from the East Side Police Precinct that was shuttered for weeks, yet reopened over a month ago. We've stood for peace there specifically. I've contacted Seattle's Mayor Jenny Durkin, Governor Jay Inslee, and our Attorney General Bob Ferguson's office on this gathering of these maskless wanderers. Even with Washington's mandate to wear masks and to social distance, we just keep on keeping on, Bob, to the best of our ability. Thanks for taking that activist stand, Jude. Thank you to Juanita for her research skills. Thank you, Mike in Cascadia, for also being active in trying to stop this stupid spreader event. Yeah, there we go. And let Sean Foicht cry all he wants, but let him do it alone and in private and without spreading this terrible, terrible disease to any innocent individual. Thanks, Jude. That's tremendous, tremendous work you've done there. Also had a note from Steve in New York. Subject line, Ohio State Buckeyes coach admits to being COVID co-conspirator. And speaking of conspiracy theories, we'll get after one here in a second. I'll get my Alex Jones hat out. I saw an interview today, Steve writes, with Ryan Day. The interviewer asked him if he was comfortable playing football this fall. Day said that while the university and officials had acted properly and diligently to make spring practices and workouts secure, he was not yet confident that playing football this fall would be sufficiently secure and safe. This is more clear evidence of the vastness of the hoax targeted at dear leader Kim Jong-un to discredit him, destroy the economy, and to secure his defeat in November by allowing millions of zombie cicadas and murder hornets to vote. That's about the size of it. He also signed a so-called emergency executive order overnight claiming the ability to shut down a First Amendment-protected electronic information outlet. Talking, of course, about TikTok. TikTok is owned by the Chinese, but all of its U.S. assets are U.S. held. And so the the argument being, this is like ordering that the Washington Post be shut down, or the New York Times, or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Memphis Commercial Appeal, San Francisco Chronicle, etc. It's the Chicago Sun-Times, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. On and on and on. But that's only if it turns out that the First Amendment is not, as I have argued in the past, nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry. Because another thing that Jude sent along was, of course, a link to an interview between Sean Foicht and the folks over at Fox and Fiends. This goes back about a week, but take a moment just to hear what this super spreader has to say. Oop. Wrong button.
All right, thousands of California Christians demanding to let us worship after the state banned singing in church. And now they're taking their church service to the beach. The man behind this new wave of worship joins us live next.
Welcome back. Well, thousands of California Christians protesting Governor Gavin Newsom after he banned singing in church and put other restrictions on.
I question their identification as Christians. Because Christians are not supposed to actively harm other people, and that's exactly what these mask-hole COVIDiots are doing. I'd say that they're more likely some sort of cult types.
Indoor venues this past Sunday and Monday, over 5,000 Californians attended Let Us Worship protests on the beach organized by our next guest. Protest and worship. Here with more behind his movement, worship leader and founder of Hold the Line, Sean Foicht. Sean, thank you.
Worship leader. Gospel sharp. There we go.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. The restrictions in California are happening in other states. Some churches are saying we're going to abide by them. We're going to stay inside. You've taken another route. You said we're going to the beach and we're going to worship. Talk to us about what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just beaches, you know, we're going under bridges and we're meeting in fields and really anywhere we can gather and spread out and worship, we're finding those places. It's summertime in California and it's just been such an amazing movement that we've seen so much momentum on.
Why is it, Sean, in your belief, is it that churches were deemed non-essential and things like singing banned when other activities?
Well, no, that's the thing. See, this is Fox and Fiends. So it proceeds from a lie. Churches weren't deemed non-essential. Churches were deemed to be incredibly dangerous super spreaders of the virus because of the behavior of the people in those churches. The Roman Catholic Church shut down. You'll recall there wasn't even an Easter service at St. Peter's. And they've been at it since, about 1,700 years ago. They didn't piss and moan. The Whiskey Episcopals didn't piss and moan. No, it's these evangelical cultists that are doing the whining. And of course they that particular day they invaded that beach in California and ruined it for anybody else who wanted to be on it.
Especially when you turn on your TVs and see protests and riots are allowed to go on. Well, what is it about churches that you feel like has made them a target?
Well,
stupid people.
It is a double standard, and I would say, you know, at best it's hypocrisy, and at worst it's bigotry. You know that there's a target on churches, while we are seeing across America.
Well, okay, there's a target on churches. Well, that's because churches like Sean Foyt's have put targets on decent human beings. Jesus. They're the ones doing the targeting. Because they don't care whom they sicken and kill. They are amoral, ethically bankrupt, and utterly malevolent. Plain and simple. Oh, and thank you very kindly to Women Standing, and thank you very kindly to Jeremy. Very kindly indeed. That's $15 of Ralph's challenge. Only 10 more to go on that. And in an effort to knock out $585 this evening, and once again put forward another community-made miracle, I have a challenge that has just come in from up over down under. That's right, courtesy of Robert in Australia. An up over down under challenge. Robert in Australia will match the first $100 that comes in, and between that and Ralph's challenge, that would get us down to $295 to go if it's met. So there's $100 in matching money on the table. Thank you very kindly, Robert. So we've got Sean Foyt there. Oh, and we've got, I don't know how it is that Ohio just insists on getting into the program, but there we are. Not too long back, we learned about an asshole maggot Republican legislator by the name of State Representative Nino Vitale. He's a repiglickin, a maggot from Urbana, Ohio, and he's pure poison. You might recall a few weeks back that he swore I won't wear a mask because Jesus can't recognize me if I got a mask on. He's kind of simple, that Jesus. Yeah. Vitale is a native of Cleveland. And get this, he's running unopposed in the upcoming November election because whatever his district is, couldn't find anybody better than a guy who is a mask-hole covidiot to represent them. He thinks wearing a mask dishonors God.
It hurts God.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the ones who participated in the ongoing attacks of Ohio's top public health advocate, Amy Acton, until she was driven from her job by having, like, Nazis marching up and down on the sidewalk in front of her home. Nino Vitale called her an unelected globalist. Well, he's back. Nino Vitale. Writing recently in response to the coronavirus in Ohio, and in response to Governor Mike DeWine ordering 7 counties to wear masks in public. Well, Nino Vitale, mask-hole covidiot that he is, said he is tired of living in a dictatorship. because, you know, that's what having a wear a mask is, to protect other people from getting any viral particles you might be spewing. It's a dictatorship! And then, in what I... We're learning that there are some really, really gray areas in, or some conflicts between the First Amendment and public health. And this is one of them. Because MAGAT Representative Nino Vitale wrote, "This is what happens when people go crazy and get tested. Stop getting tested!" He's actually trying to harm other Ohioans. One could argue he is engaging in criminal conduct. Because, see, Ohio's COVID-19 case numbers are going up. Among other things, Nino Vitale said, "Have you noticed they never talk about deaths anymore, just cases?" The only problem being that they are talking about deaths. The Ohio Department of Health reported that 43 more Ohioans had the universe end for them in the last 24 hours. 43 dead Ohioans from the coronavirus. Nonetheless, Nino Vitale said, "And they never talk about recoveries. They just keep adding to numbers they've been feeding us from over 3 months ago." Meanwhile, there is a red alert, level 3, in Butler, Cuyahoga, Franklin, Hamilton, Huron, Montgomery, and Trumbull County, Ohio. And representing Nino Vitale said, "Never get tested!" Because remember, his God Emperor said, if we don't get tested, there won't be any cases of the disease. And so our fetishized approach to free speech means that this monster, this misanthrope, this active, clear, and present threat to people's well-being continues to spew lies, untruths, misinformation, propaganda, much of which was probably generated by Mother Russia. And Vladdy may have a saddie, but that doesn't mean he's, you know, over the NRA, that doesn't mean he's stopped his nefarious deeds. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to PJ. PJ jumped in, finished off Ralph's challenge and got started on Robert's Up Over Down Under challenge. So there's $85 to go on that. George just took it down to $60 to go. Thank you very kindly, George. So there's $60 to go on the Up Over Down Under challenge. And if we can meet that, then there's another anonymous challenge lined up behind that. The When Donnie Chooses, You Loses challenge, offered up by an anonymous member of our community. So, taken together, that would get very, very close to wiping out what we've got remaining for the week. Thank you, one and all. So, $160 worth of challenges remaining. And thank you for getting us started on all of them. Lee in New York says, "It hurts God." If your God can be harmed by a person, your God is not omnipotent. Just saying. Well, maybe it, like, hurts his feelings. Because, you know, his feelings can be hurt. That's why he murdered the entire population of the planet one time. Wait, why am I doing this all in Trump voice? Yeah, God got a sad and apparently wiped out the entire population of the planet, with the exception of two of every species of animal, and Noah and his wife, and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and as Mark Twain points out, even took tender solicitude for the tsetse fly, saving it. Right. And so while Nino Vitale is out there trying to kill Ohioans and others, bear in mind, the only people who are listening to Nino Vitale are probably other maggots, so that means that I'm arguing that it's illegal to try to kill maggots. But ultimately, the maggots who listen to him will not wear a mask, won't get tested, and then they'll go and kill somebody that doesn't deserve to be killed, somebody who might be wearing a mask and washing hands and maintaining social distance, you know, until some maggot comes up and larps and wallers and grabulates and smolics and spews and sprays and sings and carries on all over him. Randy and PA pointing out that God-sponsored flood did wonders for the genetic gene pool. Well, you would think if that's literally true, it probably was pretty rough on the gene pool. But we know it wasn't true because, well, there was an entire hemisphere with people in it at the time. Right. Jesus and masks. Jeremy in Vermont says, hey, bud, do you think there's a slight chance that Jesus and his followers wore masks over their faces in the desert during sandstorms? Just asking for a friend. I think it's absolutely possible. That's what some of those flowing robes and headgear and stuff is for. Because, well, a good sandstorm will take your breath away. Oh, and speaking of storms and taking your breath away, I've seen it on social media. Here come the conspiracy theorists. Apparently, the blast in Lebanon was actually a missile fired from a drone. Oy vey. Even Israel is lining up to send aid to Lebanon. We have become a species which cannot accept what their eyes and ears show and tell them. And that does not bode well for the species. Oh, while we're at it, in Ohio, and then maybe we can move on from the Buckeye State. So we had the story, you know, yesterday, Corona Caligula went to the Whirlpool factory, and at their invitation, I suppose, and thereby that means that I will never own another anything built by Whirlpool. But he was to be greeted at the airport by the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine. And prior to being allowed to be in the presence, Mike DeWine was tested for the Rona. Okay. They test everybody who's going to be in the majestic, serene, noble, puissant, gracious presence. Okay, I get that. And Mike DeWine tested positive. and promptly went home to begin quarantining. So what, you say? Well, here's the other part. He was tested again, Mike DeWine was. And that test came out negative. So I'm kind of at sixes and sevens. A little baffled. Because what we don't know is, was the first test a false positive? Or was the second test a false negative? Or were they both accurate and Mike DeWine had some sort of miraculous healing take place? I don't know. We don't even know which brand of test or type of test was used. We know the White House uses those so-called instant result tests, but the last we heard of them was that they were coming from Abbott Labs and that they gave a false negative some 48% of the time or something like that. So I'm kind of flummoxed. You? I mean, you get when we get to the conversating part of all of this, should we maybe try to sort that out? Because it fits right in there with Nino Vitale saying, "Stop getting tested." Well, which time, Nino, you goddamn moron? Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, with any luck, most of the tests performed on Trump's lickspittles are mostly false negatives. Hashtag MAGA, hashtag Hillary pandemic. Oh, and congratulations going out to Ralphs. We just ticked over a number. Brother Deacon Asa just brought it to my attention. Congratulations to Ralphs, our 2,000th contributor since the new head-on PayPal interface was established. So that would make Michael our 2,001st, I think. Thank you to Michael for taking us down to $40 to go on the on Robert's Up Over Down Under challenge. Thank you very much. Steve in New York, subject line DeWine. What this proves to me is that they're doing too much testing at the White House. Does it also suggest that perhaps they're not using particularly reliable tests? Or was the one that DeWine was given yesterday evening not reliable? How many unreliable tests are out there? Does anyone know? As to miraculous healing, Lee in New York says, here's the best likeliness, one false positive or one false negative. Place your bets. Wouldn't you have to place one bet on each side, Lee, in order to properly hedge one's bet in that regard? It's the damnedest thing. And by the way, the Jerry Falwell creepy picture, Jer Jr., we're leaving Ohio now, heading to old Virginia. he's tried to yuck it up and haw-haw his way through it and just brazen it. It's not working. One member of Congress, a Republican from North Carolina, went so far as to say that Jair Jr. needs to just resign. That would be Representative Mark Walker of North Carolina. He was a preacher before he ran for Congress. Reminds me of the story about the little baby. Little baby boy out in the country. And, the folk wisdom, they wanted to figure out what the baby would do in life. So they took an unloaded pistol and a bottle of liquor and a Bible, and they set it before the little baby as he sat there. And first he reached for the pistol, and they said, "Oh, no, he's going to be a criminal." And he put the pistol back. And then he reached for the Bible, and they said, "Oh, he's going to be a man of the cloth." And then he put the Bible back. And then he reached for the bottle of booze, and they said, "Oh, no, he's going to be a drunk." But he put that back. The baby sat there for a minute and then reached out its little chubby little arms and grabbed all three and pulled them to him. And the parents looked up and said, "Ah, he's going to be a politician." Yeah, well, Representative Mark Walker was a preacher before he became a politician. And, of course, he comes from a gun-humping state. Representative Walker said in the last 24 hours or so, "Especially when you're leading the largest Christian evangelical university in the country. Now, Jerry Jr. deserves a lot of credit for building Liberty University to what it is today, but there's a pattern of behavior not becoming to what the school's code of conduct is. On the property itself, his brother Jonathan Falwell pastors one of the largest churches in the country, a church that his father Jerry Sr. founded. And I believe this behavior has become troubling, and I believe, whether it's a leave of absence or stepping down, I believe his behavior, the pattern of it, has warranted this. Even if you listen to his comments on the radio show, he apologized for embarrassing the young, but he didn't apologize to the thousands of alumni, the students, faculty, and many others who hold Liberty University in high esteem." You cannot look away when you have this strict code, he said. Well, here we go. The board of Liberty University has encouraged Jair Jr. to hang up his shorts. I'm sorry, his ill-fitting jeans. "The Executive Committee of Liberty University's Board of Trustees, acting on behalf of the full board, met today and requested that Jerry Falwell Jr. take an indefinite leave of absence from his roles as president and chancellor." Yeah. That would be indefinite. So it remains to be seen whether he will accede to their wishes or force them to force him. By the way, in case you were wondering, Liberty University, which is supposed to be a Christian institution, has investments and endowments totaling near $2 billion. And they've grown and spread like a cancer on that area of the Blue Ridge, Lynchburg, and neighboring counties in Virginia. It would be nice. Well, it would be nice if we never had to see his face again. It maybe as was the case with the National Ruble Association, He can, Corona Caligula can suggest that Jared Jr.
Move and have a great, beautiful life in Texas.
And by the way, our pal Mighty Mouse, with a note, having jumped in there as 2001st, had to respond to the over down, up over down under challenge with this. I wrote a poem by the same name while waiting for my Australian fiance to arrive in 1989. Over down under. Let us go up over down yonder to Southern Hemisphere where different stars swirl in the same black sky. Glad I could chip in. Thank you, Mighty Mouse. Thank you very kindly. Here he comes to save the day. Yeah. Thanks for sending the Jerry Falwell story along to our buddy Don in West Tennistan. Thank you, Steve, in New York City, from Lee in New York City. He said it wonderfully. Trump said less, we test too much. Let him stop testing at the White House. After all, if there are no tests at the White House, no one is sick at the White House. It's obvious. Unassailable wisdom. Dave, number 11, commenting on the Mike DeWine positive or negative positive, whatever. Dave number 11 says, Mrs. Dave number 11 says it was sample contamination at some level. The coronavirus could have come from a technician's glove or even the testing device itself. So I take it from that. Clarify if Mrs. Dave number 11 needs to clarify. Do I understand that to be that it was a false positive as opposed to a false negative last night? Tell me if I'm misunderstanding. I'm not being facetious here. I just want to make sure that I'm getting it. Because Steve in New York says, the instant test at the White House are the antigen tests. They don't require a lab to evaluate the test. The one at Ohio State that evening was the more accurate and most likely the right one. They required a lab to evaluate the test. Well, is it an antibody test, that instant test? I think there's a difference. I think there's a quickie test that's not antibody-based. Although I could be wrong. It's just that there is so damned much information that we do and don't know. Yeah, for instance, I asked last night toward the end of the program, Does a beard help or hinder one's attempts not to contract the virus? The beard on guys? Because it just from a layman's standpoint, it occurs to me that it might make things more dangerous. It's another place for the virus to live, and it's kind of hard to soak a beard in hand sanitizer. I don't know, but Tom in sunny San Rafael said, it sure does keep your mask from fitting right. So there's that. yeah, I'm only making things worse. I have two new emails from Dave number 11. The false positive was wrong. And then Dave number 11 follows up saying, Jesus, the positive was false. Yeah, and it kind of makes your little head hurt, doesn't it? It's not doing me any favors. Oh, and the big day today. This is the beginning of Bike Week in Sturgis, South Dakota. Anywhere from 125 to 250,000 people expected. population of 7,000 people that is, many of whom are absolutely unhappy with the idea of having their little town turned into a filthy petri dish. The Meade County commissioner who represents Sturgis, there in South Dakota, a woman by the name of Doreen Allison Creed, said they really couldn't do much to stop the event because the county doesn't have any jurisdiction to shut it down because so much of it takes place on state-licensed campgrounds. We're either going to be a great success story or failure. I truly believe it could not have been stopped. Well, the part that takes place inside Sturgis could have been. But that would have given Governor Kristi Noem, a bioterrorist in her own right, a maggot, probably with ambition. What politician doesn't have it? But this past Wednesday night, she gave an interview to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, encouraging people to come on down to Sturgis. Because South Dakota's economy benefits when people do that. Kristi Noem, who doesn't apparently understand how viruses spread, said, "We know we can have these events, get people information, let them protect their health, but still enjoy their way of life and enjoy events like the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally." South Dakota has never to this day had any kind of a lockdown or any sort of mandatory masking. Regardless, the Smithfield Pork Processing Plant in Sioux Falls at one point had more than 600 people sickened by the Rona. And there's more to it than this. Because the last stop before you get to Sturgis of any real size is Sioux Falls. And a lot of the bikers stop in Sioux Falls on the way to Sturgis. That's in Minnehaha County, South Dakota. Jeff Barth is a county commissioner in Minnehaha County. And he said, "We all recognize what's going to happen." Talking about people in Sioux Falls being subjected to the disease. But hey, they've got guidelines for social distancing up for the people coming to Sturgis. And they put hand sanitizer stations in place that'll be out of hand sanitizer in probably a matter of hours at best, and they're given free bandanas to anybody who goes to an event in the amphitheater. But, and this is the important part, they won't be required because, of course, not. But Rod Woodruff, who owns the Buffalo Chip, which is some sort of, I suppose, drinking establishment, said, "We told everyone, if you're worried about it, stay home. Don't come." Yeah, well, see, the problem with Rod's reasoning there is that the novel coronavirus 19 doesn't really care. Being a virus, it doesn't have the ability to care. You might recall early on in this, I had a dear friend and scientist and public health expert on the program, and he explained that there's even an open debate as to whether a virus is truly alive. So it really lacks the cognitive ability to take note of whether someone is worried. If you're worried about it, stay home. Don't come. So there's going to be lots of unworried people in Sturgis whom the Rona is going to infect nonetheless. Because they'll go into places like the Buffalo Chip. And LARP and Waller and Smolik and Lollygag all over each other. And holler, "Hey, buddy! How you doing?" And send God knows how many viral particles spewing across the room. And whatever the time threshold is for exposure, once you're done, you're done. Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to ride a Harley Davidson back across the country, burning up with fever? How many stops do you suppose it takes? I mean, I saw where one person wrote, "Heading that way from New Hampshire, see you soon." How many stops do you suppose there are on if you're riding a Harley Davidson between, say, Sturgis, South Dakota, and, I don't know, Seabrook, New Hampshire? How many opportunities to spray your viral particles all over some innocent essential worker at some gas station or Rippy Mart, hotel, motel? Because you can't just shoot straight through. No. Yes, exactly. Ralphs points out, not having the rally would have given Christy Nome a sad. At which point she would have been Misty Christy. Ooh, yeah. Scott in San Diego, DeWine test confusion. It's all rather quite simple, Bob. For the first test, the White House had him pee onto a stick. Oh, congratulations, it turned pink. It's a Rona. Quickie test. Apologies for ruining dinner, says Lee in New York. Given an option, POTUS will opt for a quickie. Ew. Just ew. Breaking news, Steve in New York. Jerry Falwell Jr. comes out as bisexual. Just kidding. Yeah, he's just taking a leave of absence. You know, to spend more time with his family. Sure. Of course. Naturally. I'm just it's a little bright out yet for the Bob signal, but making sure we get connected for Friday on the front porch. Harley and COVID, says Steve in New York. On the bright side, if you had a sidecar, you could put the ventilator in there. Yeah, but I tell you what, it's hard to ride a Harley. In that horizontally crucified position. Well, maybe. No, definitely difficult. Once again, we learn that stupidity is spreading faster than the virus itself. James in Illinois says, this annual bikers rally sounds like the old saying about the cost of sex for sale at a cut-rate bordello. $50 to get it and $5,000 to get rid of it. They didn't want to miss out on the annual moneymaker, but the way we know this is going to go, make it the last one for a few years. There was an episode of Yellowstone a few weeks back that was foreshadowing to what this is going to be. A lot of the bikers lost their bikes and nearly lost their lives. Hope that's not a... I hope that's not a spoiler. Great show. Highly recommended on the Paramount Network. Yeah, we've had a lot of positive responses about Yellowstone, and eventually we'll get around to watching it. Albert with a trenchant observation. A major percentage of Sturgis event attendees are bikers. You actually think they'd follow any pandemic guidelines? Albert, I'm almost certain they will not. Yeah. Marcy. And keep an eye on Mississippi Stan, where Governor Colonel Taint Reeves, who didn't want anything to do with masks or social distancing or anything to keep his state from being ravaged by the virus. Well, it looks like Mississippi may be the next hot spot. They shattered state records recently when they had 1,775 new cases in a single day. That's a bunch for Mississippi, Stan. This past Tuesday, Colonel Governor Taint Reeves actually put a masking order in place because the infection rate in Mississippi Stan went up to 23.3%. They administered about 1.7 tests per 1,000 people over the last week. That's the highest in the country. But on Tuesday, he ordered masks to be worn at public gatherings statewide for 2 whole weeks because they want to try to get their numbers down low enough that they can start trying to kill the children and the people who take care of the children at home, you know, grandmas and moms and dads and papas and what have you. At this point in time, Mississippi Stan is number 2 in new cases per million people, only behind Florida. This at the same time that 8 members of the Mississippi legislature have come down with the Rona. I'm sorry, the Democrat hoax. And Governor Colonel Taint Reeves said, "We've got to be prepared to change. This is what we're doing for the initial reopening of our schools. We have to balance the very real risk of the virus and the lifelong damage from school closures." Shh. The President of the United States in the last week has declared that the word Yosemite is pronounced Yosemite, and at the same time has referred to a country in Southeast Asia as Thailand. So I don't think missing a year of school is necessarily going to be that deleterious to the future of the nation or to the overall educational experience of our young scholars. Wednesday, the Mississippi State Department of Health reported 956 new cases, 21 new deaths. There are at least 64,400 cases in Mississippi. That has doubled since this time last month. And they're trying to figure out why it's breaking out like it is inside the state legislature, where it's almost entirely good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian men, white men. And they're probably baffled because they haven't taken into account the LARPing and the Smolikin and the Grabolatin and the Wallerin and the Lollygaggin and the spraying and the spewing and the sneezing and the coughing and the and the singing of the national anthem at the top of their lungs and yelling the Pledge of Allegiance. Right. It only gets better in Mississippi, Stan. Remember, Mississippi's aching to open its school system when, in fact, it's probably the 49th or 50th worst school system in the country. So it's not like they were doing a great job when they were open in the first place. But that brings us to Dr. Lou Ann Woodward. She's the vice chancellor at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. It was Wednesday when she said that her hospital lacks 14 ICU beds because there's so many COVID-19 patients in need of intensive care. They've resorted to treating ICU patients in other parts of the hospital that are not set up like ICUs are. ICUs are a specific sort of thing that's not just like an ordinary hospital room. And as usual, the interface, the interplay between poverty, low educational levels, underprivilege, make it more than likely that the Rona will absolutely raise hell in a beat-up place like Mississippi, Stan. In Mississippi, almost 50% of all COVID-19 cases and deaths are in the African-American community, and the majority of those deaths are among black women. Black women are 13,300 of the infections in Mississippi as of Monday, whereas white women make up about 8,100. 7,860 of the cases in Mississippi are African-American men, whereas white men are 6,848. And we know there are things we know that relate to race in medicine. For instance, Dr. Olubukola Nafu directs the Pediatric Anesthesia Research Center at Michigan State University. He said that people of color living in poverty experience lower qualities of care and makes them more prone to complications when they're dealing with something like the Rona. Speaking to ABC News, he said, "In the past, many medical professionals have explained that African Americans tend to be sicker than their white peers in general, but that's not always true. I believe if we targeted preventative measures toward the most vulnerable populations, then we will have a substantial effect on reducing mortality rates across the board within the African American population." Well, this would be an appropriate time to remind us all, myself included, that Mississippi is one of those states that rejected the Medicaid expansion, even though the federal government was paying for no less than 90% of it. God almighty. And that seems to be lost on people like Colonel Governor Taint Reeves. Because, you know, they couldn't be taking that Medicaid expansion in Mississippi, because then people would think they were had a right to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. When we all know that there ain't no such right. Right? Yeah. Sure. And we're going to add another $25 challenge to what's already on the table. There's $160 worth of challenges on the table. And that would be courtesy of our dear friend Alma, who offers up the "We're taking down the NRA challenge." Thank you, Alma. We're getting close to a figure where if all the challenges are met, we could be close to finishing the week to the good. Because that's I'm sorry, I'm ciphering here. If all the challenges are met, we'll only be $85 from finishing the week. So there's $185 worth of challenges on the table. Let's go ahead and check in the old holler tree. How you doing, Sparky?
I'm doing fine. It was my shopping day today.
Fun shopping or just ordinary shopping?
Just ordinary grocery store shopping that I do once a week. Pick up prescriptions for Judy.
Okay, so you didn't go to the dispensary?
No, I don't need to go there for a long time, thanks to Roger.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
That happened last year. You know those big peanut jars?
Yes, yes, I do.
He gave me two of those filled with the...
Oh, heavenly.
Anyway, I'm watching TMZ. I put a link in the chat. I also posted the video in the Horn chat. But it's a live feed from Sturgis.
Oh, are they beginning to wander in?
Oh, there's oodles of them. There's a Sturgis liquor store has full throttle hand sanitizer on sale, half gallons. Oop! They zoomed out. I could almost read a picture.
Yeah, I see it now.
But the Knuckle Saloon looks like it's a happening place right now.
Wow, that does. Kind of makes you wonder. How many gajillion virus particles are in the saloon at this point?
You never know. Somebody's got to be asymptomatic in this big of a group.
Well, that's kind of what that Georgia Tech event planning tool shows.
It's only Friday, so a lot of the people haven't got there yet.
Yeah, and this thing goes on for...
This goes on for 9 days.
10, counting today. 9 more after today.
Oh, yeah. I look.
And you know what's interesting, as compared to, say, you know, one of those super spreader rallies held by Sean Foyt. You know, he's in Portland tomorrow, and then he's in Seattle on the 9th. And... They gather together and they hoot and they sing and they waller and lollygag and all of that. And then they dissipate. They go away.
Do you know old Sean Foyt ran for Congress?
Yeah, I saw that. Apparently the electorate were not impressed. Well, but the thing I was going to point out.
He got 13% of the vote, 25,000 votes.
25,000 insane people. The thing about the Sturgis rally, though, is that they're going to go there and stay there. So the people who actually do the whole 10 days there, and I'm sure there are some, they could very well be symptomatic by the time they leave. And so while in Sturgis they say, well, if you're worried about it, don't come, you know, as if it pisses them off. Well, how do you quarantine somebody to keep them from spreading it all the way across the country as they go home? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's 93 degrees there.
Oh, the Rona likes it warm.
There'll be a lot of sweating.
Droplets within droplets within droplets.
Do you remember the Miss Buffalo Chip contest when McCain was running for president and his wife Cindy was playing, he was putting her up to run?
Oh, God, I'd forgotten about that. Cindy McCain, Miss Buffalo Chip. And before that, what is it with Republican men and their spouses? You remember when George W. Bush wrote his poem to Laura? Now, that was about a million years ago. But he wrote,
"Roses are red, violets are blue, my lump in the bed, how I love you."
Miss Buffalo Chip, lump in the bed. A lot of respect there.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Trump flag. Oh, and another truck with something in it. Flags.
Oh, God.
But I think there's a Trump flag flying behind those canopy tent things set up in front of the knuckle. It zooms in on it every once in a while, the camera does. Oh, they got a yellow snake flag flying, it looks like.
Of course. We got a house out the road from me flies both a Trump flag and a urine-colored snake flag.
I don't doubt that you do.
Damn, and I just got a note from Randy in PA. Hiding in basement due to tornado warning, which expires in less than 10 minutes. A tornado warning in eastern PA. Fucking climate change.
Well, they're happening everywhere. We get them now in California, and we never got them. They haven't been real powerful, but they've knocked down an almond orchard before.
Be kind of funny if one of those struck while Sean Fuchs was singing and spewing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Rick was telling me on Skype, he sent me a message that he was at Huntington Beach or something. Is that where that news story was here about?
I think it was. God, I'd like to see the National Guard just sent in and clear them out. I don't mean shoot them or anything. But, you know.
Oh, North Dakota?
Well, South Dakota or Huntington
South
Beach.
South Dakota. I saw a TikTok thing on Facebook a little while ago. Austin police are using horses to break up demonstrators. Just like they did it on June 1st in Washington, D.C.
Well, with people on foot, horses are an awesome display of power. That's why cavalry were always so effective.
Some guy going down the street on a little dinky scooter, you know, these big bikes are coming in.
Now there's somebody with some guts. Anybody that would ride ride a Vespa to Sturgis. That's courage.
Oh, I'm sure this guy probably lives there or something. He uses it for transportation.
Oh, an update to Skype came through the other day, and I really don't like it. It changed the way the interface looks on my screen, so I can either have a narrow column or the whole screen. And it's a real pain in the ass. Because I was just trying to figure out who all's in the group.
can I?
It used to be fairly easy. Now it isn't.
Well, I could tell you.
Yeah.
Joe's here. Lewis is here. Mighty Mouse is here. Scott's here. And Stephen.
That's me.
Well, welcome all. And I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you to Kat, and thank you to Joey. The challenges are met, thanks to you two. The remaining challenges, and that just leaves a little bit to finish the week, which is freaking awesome. And a giant relief. So, Joey, no Giraffe's Journal today?
He's muted right now.
Probably trying to figure out how to unmute.
Or it could be Geoffrey speaking.
Well, Giraffe's very quiet, yes. Yeah. Hey, Scott.
Hey, baby, what's going on?
Here's the deal with Microsoft, and you should know this better than I. It's the, you know, technological equivalent of Trump, Microsoft is. So, 'cause if there's a way to fuck it up, they'll find it, you know?
And sometimes just for fun, yes.
Yeah, I don't want to start that old Apple versus Microsoft deal, but there was a reason I bought my first Mac in 1984 and have not owned another computer of a different brand since. Now, I know they're pricey, but I very seldom have any issues, you know. But anyway, I'm not going to beat that horse.
I don't have much issues with Windows, but I don't know. I don't know why. And I got three computer towers.
Well, for me, I don't know why it runs this way, but I've had several instances now where I run an app that's a virtual cart deck. Scott knows what a cart deck is. And from time to time, Microsoft sends an update through, and, you know, I okay it.
Fucks up your settings.
It doesn't fuck up my settings. It erases all my virtual carts.
Are you shitting me? Jesus.
You know, the intro music, the prayer meeting Wednesday music, the clips, green news, all of that.
Jesus.
Just gone, as if it was never there.
Then how do you get it back?
Reload every goddamn one of them by hand, Sparky.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, where do you have them on a disc or what? What are you talking about?
They're all MP3 clips, and they're in a file on the desktop, and then I have to open the virtual cart deck, and reload each individual element every time it does this.
Jesus. Can you opt out of the updates, or is that a solid thing where you've got to take it?
Well, you can, but it's not a great idea. Because every time, for instance, every time, you know, somebody exploits a vulnerability, they have to send through a patch.
Yeah, jeez.
Answer your question, Giraffrey and I had a busy day. We went and got a car fixed and picked up another car from the folks. And now Giraffrey has his car and I've got a car. And we're just going to zoom around everywhere now.
Wait, Giraffrey's got a car?
Giraffrey, yeah. He got a 2014 Honda SUV, and he fits in it perfectly. It's got a moonroof, too, so he can pop his head out. When he needs to, and we're just all set now.
Awesome. I presume, does he have like a sunroof or something to, you know, for his long neck?
Yeah. The sunroof, opens up and you can, you know, you can stick his neck out there and away we go.
Not nice time of year for it.
Yeah, he's very excited. He's speechless. It's just amazing.
So you know, in the greater Cleveland area there, Joey, what was the general feeling about the arrival of Nitwit Nero yesterday? I mean, Cleveland's still reasonably Democratic, isn't it?
Oh, big time. I mean, almost the entire city of Cleveland ignored him. He came into the airport right by Lake Erie, Brick Lakefront, which is right smack downtown. And I mean, nobody was there to greet him. It was laughable. Now, he went out to Clyde, Ohio, in the middle of Mother Hump of Nowhere, and he got a bunch of, you know, racist yahoos with their, you know, with their flags and their signs. But no, Cleveland just absolutely ignored him. It was funny.
There's something about Cleveland and Republican presidents coming there to say stupid shit. I've got a clip here, as a matter of fact. Let me see if I can find it. Remember when Bush showed up there in, what, 2004 or something?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Maybe I can find this thing.
Hey, Joey, how far are you from John Carroll University?
Like 45 minutes.
Joey?
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, hey, how far are you from John Carroll University?
Yeah, about a 45-minute drive.
Oh, not far. That's where my cousin graduated from.
Yeah, I found the clip. Here's George Bush on the tarmac in Cleveland from years ago.
I met an onion grower today at the airport when I arrived. And he said, "You gotta help me find people that'll pull onions, pluck them, or whatever you do with them, you know."
Now, I admit I slowed that down a little bit to make him sound a little drunker, but
it still sounded stupid.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't sound any better. Sounding sober, I can provide empirical data in support of that position.
Pluck them.
Yeah.
Well, pluck my onions.
Well, pluck my onions and call me a crybaby. What do you say, John Bredevo?
I'm sorry I'm late, Bob. I was still on the air just a few minutes ago.
No, you're not late. You got in early enough now that you can get in on the conversation.
Well, good. How the hell you been, Bob?
I can't complain. Wouldn't be any point to it.
Shit, nobody. Nobody would listen anyway. Well, I take that back. You have a lot of people listen to you complain, Bob.
You would be surprised, absolutely. The ones that don't just fall asleep.
Yeah.
Well, hey, John, can you see the Skype chat?
Can I see the what?
Skype chat.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can. Well, let me close this. I got my windows open still for my other show. Let me get this over here. I should be able to. Where's the damn chat button? Ah, there it is. Yes, I see the chat button.
How do you like that Thailand veteran flag?
Oh, it's Thailand, buddy.
Thailand, yeah. I was about to issue the correction. Thailand.
Yes, Thailand. I remember it well. Both of them.
You know, they will not let. They won't let Trump utter the first syllable about the African nation of Niger.
Man, yeah. Cause keep him away from it. Ain't it?
Well, yeah. We
guy in the Utpal group. Yeah, I went back to New York to rewire his house. He sent me that this morning on Facebook.
So he was stationed in Utapau, Thailand, too?
Yep.
Well, you know, John, Thailand is just north of Lower Kafistan.
I've heard of that. Yes, yes. I never made it to Lower Cap. What'd you say?
Yeah, and it's just not far at all from Shinbonia.
Yeah, Shinbonia, I swear.
Isn't there a town?
Anybody more stupid in there?
I'm just wondering where Phuket is in relation to Thailand.
Oh, you mean fuck it?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's where.
Is that right in the middle of Thailand, or?
It's pretty close.
You ever been to Vaginal Beach? Yeah.
Depending on which Thailand you're in, you either take a right or a left. It's right there.
You would think that one of his people, Bob, I'm sure they still print out the daily Associated Press pronunciation guide. Probably comes over the wire 1201 every day.
You said certainly, the word, though, print. He don't do print.
Oh.
Oh, and by the way, update. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, I'm watching Sparky's live feed. Still looking for some black folks in Sturgis, LOL. Going to be looking for a while, Jimmy.
Yeah.
They said in that article, it says you can play Where's Waldo looking for a face mask, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to see some repercussions out of that. Yeah.
We're talking about that TMZ article, John. And if you click on that, there's a live feed. This Sturgis, it's a corner, street corner, and it pans back and forth.
Hey, do you guys ever? There's Microsoft Rewards, and every day you can get this quiz, and it's side by side with this or that, and it's like, which is the taller mountain? You can pick A or B. You know, which is the larger city, A or B? So I'm thinking to myself, which is wider, Bob's buttocks or that Sturgis crowd?
That was a low blow to people trying to have dinner in the Central Time Zone.
Boy, I had a shit. Yeah, I see that. A Sparky live view there. How about that shit? Let's go, buddy. Let's go up there and kick ass.
I think I have an answer to the question. Blindingly white.
Blinded by the white.
Oh, now we've got singing. We better finish fundraising quick, or there won't be anybody left.
Move, well, I've been down so many times. It looks what? I thought we was having a contest.
Yeah, no.
you won, John.
Yep.
That's what I do before I, you know, that time when you turn your camera on, Bob, and you start the show and ain't nobody there yet looking at you.
Yep.
I take that opportunity to show off my singing skills. That's right. Everybody's please telling me to quit.
Yeah, that's when they show up. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah.
Yeah, stop, please. It's my show, though.
Oh, by the way, James in Illinois, who jumped in, got us a little closer to Dunn. Thank you, James. Said, Thailand, I thought that was right below Butt Montana, Butte.
What?
Butte, butt. What?
Butt Montana?
Yeah, it's the Swiss pronunciation.
Right around the corner from it, buddy. Right around the corner. Oh, Lord, Bob. Is it early enough to show to go in the ditch?
I think we've just proven that it wasn't.
Mm-mm. Well, I've had a hell of a week, Bob.
Have you really?
I uncovered a mass conspiracy within our Blue Dot family.
Yeah, I saw the result of the conspiracy. Those look like some lovely skins.
I mean to tell you, brother, they came through big time. It was unbelievable. But they have yet to pay the price for it, and I intend to fully execute. Yeah, whatever. I'll
you
do
gotta something. Be nice now that you got that air conditioner, John.
I'll tell you what, here's the story on the freaking air conditioner. Tuesday, I took the truck down there because the Blue Dot family was kind enough to participate in the conspiracy, and they bought me new tires. And so that left a little bit of money in the budget, so I'm going to run down and get the air conditioner fixed. Took it down there on Tuesday. They loaded it up, replaced the little valve that was leaking, and I'm on the road. Yeah, Wednesday morning, wake up, load the truck up to go to the dump, jump in it, turn on that AC, nothing. Ah, shit. I had to go to the dump in a hot truck. Come back, and then Thursday, I take it back down to the place there, and I say, look here, all that shit's gone. It's hot. We'll leave it here, and we'll check it out. All right. So I called them later, and they said, well, Mr. Bravo, bad news. Got a leak in the evaporator. We put some dye in it. It's really looking real bad there. It's a 10-year-old truck with all original equipment. And there's just nothing we can do except you pay us $3,000, and we'll fix that shit for you. I said, yeah, that's about what I said, except yours is a lot nicer. No, I was real kind. I just said, well, I'm sorry, partner. That's out of my budget. And
looks like so I'm going to be sweating for a while.
Yep, I'm going to be sweating. Winter's coming pretty soon. Well, lo and behold, I go out to my truck to leave, and the truck is cool. Of course it is. They just filled it up with Freon. That's the same thing that happened on Tuesday. I rode home nice and cool. It was Wednesday morning that it was all gone. Anyway, you drive home. It's nice and cool. Parked the truck this morning. I got to go into town, and I'm thinking, well, that shit's gone. It's going to be hot. I jump in. It's ice cold. I drive all the way into town and back, ice cold. My son went out just a few minutes ago to go move the truck, ice cold. So I called that shop back, and I said, I don't know what y'all did, but it's running cold. So and they said, well, it can. It's got a big leak in the evaporator coil.
I'm surprised they didn't say it's cold, is it? Well, just bring the $3,000, and we'll call it even.
Yeah, there you go. I fixed it for y'all. Owe me money. So I don't know. I'm going to let it go for see how long it lasts. But right now it's holding. So go figure.
So it's not something you can put. It's not something you can put some JB Weld on and just have done or anything.
Now, if I could find it, I might. But I don't know where to lay. I'm not tearing my dash apart and ripping out the evaporator. That's where my evaporator coil is in the dash.
Well, what kind of truck is it?
It's a 2010 Chevy Silverado. So
that's a manly man's truck.
It is a manly man. Got dual exhaust, got a hood scoop on, and I'll shut down anybody gets next to me. God, and my youngest. Nowadays, I just...
Texas.
I tell you what, just in terms of pure design, though, John, and I love that new Jeep pickup truck.
I have seen it. That's a good-looking truck. I had a Jeep. We had a Jeep. I didn't give up my Chevy, just I had a Jeep, too. I liked it. Mama loved it. Had seat warmers. So in the winter, you turn the seat warmer on there and warm your butt up. You can't ask for nothing better than that shit.
And on the base models, because, well, one of the nice things about a Jeep, a base model Jeep, is it's got those drain plugs in the floorboard.
Yes.
And you can literally hose out the thing.
Yep. Yep. Try to do that on a Chevy or Ford or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, ain't happening.
There's so much water. Yeah, no. No, yeah, they do. They have drain plugs. You can wash some bitch out. Yeah, I was real happy with my, are you thinking about getting one?
No, I couldn't, I'd love to, but that would involve lottery winning or something like that.
So. Yeah, that's the same boat I am in.
Every now and then, I can't help it. My grandfather was a car salesman, and one of the earliest memories I have with my dad is just him stopping on his day off. We'd be out and around, let's go look at the cars, son. And so, I can't help it. I have to stop at car lots every now and then and just browse.
Yeah.
And I looked. Thank you very much. I looked at one of those Jeep Gladiators. Holy.
Nice.
Nice, yeah, nice. $55,000, yeah. Nice.
You remember when a house used to cost that much, Bob? I do.
That's twice as much as my parents' house cost.
Shit. I know it. Nowadays, you look at car prices. Are you shitting me? Really? That much? Yeah, that much.
The house I'm sitting in was $17,500 in 1963.
There you go. There you go. Times have changed. America's changed, baby. We got to change it again. I've been really pushing this point, Bob, on my show that we have a moment in time right here with this election coming up, but we need to make it a moment in history. Well, I mean, we really need to take the White House, the Senate, and retain and pick up seats in the House, which I think we're going to do. I think we're going to do all three of those, and I'm feeling more confident that the closer we get, but not ultimately that we can give up any kind of push on it at all.
No, I'm going to treat this as a desperate, a desperate struggle for life and death.
It is. It is indeed for our society, especially for those on the lower end of the income ladder here.
I mean, it was interesting. David in South Carolina, Stan, pointed out to me, I think it was yesterday, Jamie Harrison and Lindsey Graham are neck and neck, and yet Trump is up 5 points in South Carolina.
Trump is up 5 points in South Carolina? Really?
Yeah, but Lindsey can't pull away from Jamie Harrison.
Yeah, Jamie Harrison is
that seems yeah, he's a little odd.
Who's got the precious Lindsey pictures? That's what I want to know. Yeah. When are they going to come out?
You know, I am looking forward.
The Russian, what are they called? Cuddly bear, comfy bear, frosty bear.
Comfy bear. Cozy bear.
Yeah, cozy bear, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to this investigation coming out of New York into the NRA. Because remember back during the election when that, whatever her name is, the young lady that got arrested for being a spy.
Marina Butina.
That's her. Anyway, she got wrapped up, and the big discussion back then was how the possible Russian involvement funneling money through the NRA and distributing it amongst the Republican candidates at the time, including Trump and others. And I just want to see this investigation go just as deep as it needs to go, and let's just follow that money trail and see where it all went.
Yeah, she's the not quite Jennifer Lawrence. Did anyone see that movie, Red Sparrow?
Yeah.
Maria Butina is the not quite Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, when I think I remarked last night, somebody said when Letitia James announced her lawsuit to dissolve the NRA, somewhere in Moscow, Marina Butina spit out her borscht. It's fucked. Did all work to make good connection between NRA and Mother Russia, and is now gone for kaput. It's shit.
Mother Russia and the National Russian Alliance is no longer out of, you know, it's going down the tube.
Yeah, the National Ruble Association has been exposed. Yeah.
Everybody came up with a name for that one. I'm telling you.
Who is the nasty California congressman that she was hanging out with?
He must have been Hunter? California.
Yeah. I think he lost. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, South Dakota.
Wait, are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah, because he got charged.
Oh, he did? South Dakota. Yeah, she was letting all sorts of nasty figures run up against her.
Yeah.
Bob. Did you ever watch that?
I'm looking forward to that investigation to see what it turns up. Because I think there's
going to be...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You were... Go ahead. You first.
Oh, I would just say I think there's going to be a connection somewhere. Go ahead.
I insist.
Go ahead, Scott.
That movie, Red Sparrow, I've got to rewatch that because that was a good movie. Did you ever watch that FX series, The Americans?
No, I'd really like to. It's on the top of my...
I did. Movie. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I watched it. It's good.
And you know another one...
And you know our dear friend Dan Fisher was props master on that show for the last 2 years of its run.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. I wanted to suggest another TV viewing tip. It's an 8-episode series on HBO, and the final series... The season finale is this Sunday. The Perry Mason, and I believe it is not the Raymond Burr, Monty Markham.
No, I've been talking about that from time to time. Yeah. I'm waiting until the last episode. I think I've got 2 episodes to catch up with, and I just hate that week-by-week-by-week bullshit.
Yeah, I know. I recorded the first 5 or 6 episodes before I even started watching it.
I just don't know how they're going to tie up all those loose ends in that little bit of time.
Well, I'm telling you, it's and they've already given the green light. I mean, if we can get past this pandemic and get back into production, but they've given a green light for a second season. I hope it's not one of those where it's carried over into next season, because I hate those. I like them.
Right, and then it'll take a year and a half to get season 2. That's as good a work as the 4 pay channels have done, particularly folks like HBO and Stars and Showtime. As good a work as they do, that's the one place they have a hard time. They can't keep up with their own schedule. I mean, just by comparison, Agnes and I have been going back and watching. Well, she'd never seen it before. I watched it way back, I think, during my first bout of pancreatitis when I was just laid up for 6 weeks. Enterprise. You know, the prequel to the original series of Star Trek.
I never watched
it. And it may, you know, and it's one of those love it or hate it kind of thing. You know, some heresy, non-canonical. But the thing is, there were four seasons of 26 episodes in length. And they managed to do them every year without a, you know, without a 3 year hiatus in between seasons. And you look back on things like that, or the number of you want your mind blown. Look back at the original Perry Mason and see how many episodes there were per season there.
Oh God, 39 easily. Everything but summer.
Yeah.
So it would be what, 13 weeks for each season, calendar season. So that's 39. And they managed to crank them out somehow, and they weren't.
But I did see a post from our buddy Dan, because, you know, he was, as he mentioned, I think in our last conversation, at one point he was either shop steward or business agent or one of those positions for his local. And so he's very, very much tuned in to issues relating to safety and healthy practices and everything. And production companies are getting back into the swing of beginning to try to produce TV and movies again. And so Dan was out there on Facebook saying, listen, everybody who's in my business, don't be afraid to stand up for your rights and stand up for best practices. Because otherwise this can get dangerous.
That goes for every industry, Bob.
Well, yeah, it does, really. Did you see where the assholes in Paulding County, Georgia, have backed off of the young woman that they suspended for daring to warn the world about the unsanitary, unhealthy conditions there in that school district? They tried to shut her down and suspend her. But then the story went viral, and suddenly she's not suspended anymore. Because she
was that the crammed and jammed hallway?
Yeah,
photo?
she took a picture during class change and was accused of using her phone during instruction time and being active on social media during school hours.
Was that the same photo that Sparky posted the other day?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I was wondering what that was about.
You know, Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, is hell-bent on killing children, and more likely, their caregivers, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. But the young woman, Hannah Waters, her mom, Lynn, said, I spoke to the principal a short time ago, and he has rescinded the suspension, and she will have no discipline on her record.
Oh, well, how nice of them. I'm just so proud of them.
But their attempt to explain, they said, you know, the picture certainly looks bad, but it was taken, you know, anytime a Republican gets caught, what's the excuse? Well, it was taken out of context.
That's not what I meant.
The picture is nothing but context.
Or blame somebody else.
It's getting real hard for these fuckers to wipe the maggoty sauce off of themselves.
Yeah.
They're dripping in it.
It's amazing how long they've stayed tied to Trump. At this point, there's nobody's really caving in. I mean, Collins made a statement a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, nothing. But there was this race in Tennessee. Young black woman won the Senate Democratic nomination. What's her name? That was on the news today. I guess that was a tight vote.
I'm looking in my notes. I know I have her name written down.
But she's real progressive, so there's hope for us, you know, and that's what I'm... out of all this malaise and insanity, some good will come out of this pandemic. I'm hoping, but it's just this president. You know, it's just like there's no management anymore.
Well, that's how I'm saying that we have a moment in time. We see that right now with the social unrest in the country. Right. We need to make a moment in history. We need very progressive change in this country. And we have the momentum, I believe, right now to carry into this November and to carry this this election. But we don't need to stop there, baby, because change ain't going to happen unless we face it. And there are that election you're talking about where a progressive black woman Democrat came up and beat the incumbent Democrat in the who's already in the seat.
That was in New York. And then this and I think that's what Chris was talking about, this Democratic primary in Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
Where a progressive woman of color beat the odds on favorite who had out fundraised her 250-1.
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, there's a voice in this country that's rising up.
Now, that's Tennessee, right?
But the downside of that is that it's a good sign that the progressive won, but let's at least be a little bit realistic and grown up about it.
Mm-hmm.
She won the primary. That's not going to happen in November.
Because she's too progressive.
Thanks, Bob, for busting my freaking.
Well, I mean, come on, John.
Sit around, God damn it!
You're down there behind. You're back behind the corn pone curtain, just like I am. You know.
Yes, I am.
You know beans when the bag's open.
Yeah, we're hoping that they are. The beans in the bag is open, buddy.
We're having a hard time here in Texas. Hey, John, can I just jump? One thing I'd like to say about Tennessee is Chattanooga. You look at what they did with their city urban revitalization plan, putting in their 1 billion, gigabit internet access for all the citizenry of Chattanooga. And I think they've had an influx of development there and investment and everything. And maybe, you know, and call me silly, you know, it is Tennessee, I get it. But maybe everybody in Tennessee is looking at Chattanooga saying, well, why can't that be us? And it can't possibly unless you get some progressive values instilled in your governance.
Yeah.
It's not possible. You can't beat Chattanooga.
Well, and as is so often the case, and I know this is also a prevalent issue in Texas, the rural areas wield outsized power compared to who and what they are relative to the cities. And so in Tennessee, Memphis and Nashville and maybe even Knoxville can all be relatively progressive, but they get drowned out by the folks from, you know, Bucksnort, which is a real exit off of I-40 in Tennessee.
Bucksnort,
Tennessee.
Snaggletooth.
Yeah. That's where they make the hunting knives, isn't it? The Bucksnort Bowie knife or hunting knife or what? No, that's Buck.
Yeah, nice. Never mind. Nice try, Scott.
The one dentist in the state lives in Snaggletooth.
How did that place get named? The origin stories of places, names of places, always intrigues me.
Well, it's an area where the local deer population is prone to sinus problems.
You can hear them all. Over.
You know, it would be I'm all for progressive movements and change in the country. I mean, look at California. There was a time when California was, especially Orange County, was reliably red, you know? Not too long ago, within my lifetime, and probably some of you others here, you know, but we finally got our act together. I think it would be a step in the right direction just to implement competent governance.
My county's still red, and it ain't going blue anytime soon, I don't
Well, think. I know, but it's, hell, you're way up going, there.
It's getting closer, I mean, because the gal that ran for Congress in the last election, and she's running again this election against Doug LaMapa, she got 42% of the vote. But that's basically because there's two counties that are really turning progressive, and that's Butte County and Nevada County.
Not mine.
What do you live in El Dorado.
Yeah, that's Tom McClintock country.
Yeah.
He's
a real piece of work. Devin Nunez got his ass handed to him again this week. He lost yet another lawsuit. And in this case, the lawsuit was bounced by a Trump appointee federal judge.
Really? There's hope. For
I
the
think
future
the,
yet.
I'm hoping that the prevailing attitude come November in some surprising places in this country will be, okay, now you've had your fun. You've had your fun, your folly. Now let's get to work.
We can't survive any more of their fun and folly.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I mean. And it's like I'm envisioning a commercial with presidential and congressional and senatorial candidates and even governors over the years who have really stood for something positive and worthwhile and have been able to do competent work and just do a montage of great Democratic leaders over the decades, you know, and you know the tagline is, "We can do it. We've done it before," you know, because if you can sell it to people who are impressionable and you know have any sense about them, they can be convinced to vote in their actual own best interest, you know.
Oh, I hear Jenny.
It's a matter of.
Yep, that's. She's. I'm sorry, Bob. My.
That's okay. I think it's charming.
No, that's
she's,
cool.
She's right dad? Outside the window down there.
She's on the show.
Let me know.
Oh,
she's,
really?
She's letting me know she wants to move from the front over and get in her pen now. And I'm sure my son heard her and go down there and move.
Oh, her. Bless her heart.
She's my sweetie. That's my darling. That's, you know, just. You need to get your donkey. That's what you need to get your donkey, Bob. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, with the acre the way it is, I need goats.
Goats. Well, they can get along with donkeys real well. There you go. Get you some goats, some donkeys. Shit, you'll just be having a grand old time. Yeah.
So what's the difference between a donkey and a mule?
My donkey's a mule is a result of
A mule is the result of crossbreeding between a horse and a donkey.
Right. There you go. Yeah, that's
mule is a mutt, man.
Well, no, I mean it's mules are great animals.
They're a workhorse.
Yeah, there's a fella
right down the street that's got one.
But they themselves cannot reproduce, isn't that correct?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That is correct. And the worst problem with the mule is they're very touchy on their feet. So putting shoes on them to use them as pack animals is a real tough problem. You usually have to do some tranquilizer.
Nice thing about my donkey, she's a miniature. So
usually have to give them tranquilizer and tie their hooves up to put shoes on them.
Huh.
Well, donkey, mule, and jackass, are they all
hey, watch what you call my
no this is a serious question.
A jackass. Okay, serious answer. A jackass is a male donkey.
A Jenny
is a female donkey.
That's hence the name Jenny. Now, okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, now you've made it clear.
Yeah.
See, this program is worth every nickel
people put into it. You not only get inspired, you get information. Where else are you going to find out about donkeys, about Trump, about Shiny Heiny? Nowhere else are you going to find such fine entertainment
on this front porch, baby. You left out the zombie cicadas, John.
And the zombie cicadas, I'm telling you, they're coming. They got little machine guns. They're just like the murder hornets, baby. They're coming for you.
Yeah. I know there's all these new animals coming out of the ground now. But, you know, most of us that listen to Horn, I mean, I'm basically a commie liberal wine-bibbing, thinker. But when you go out in the country, it's kind of scary because you don't know what kind of people you're going to bump into.
That's my forte right there. I don't know. Have you ever seen what I look like?
Yes, I have. Okay. And I subscribe to your show. So thank you.
I appreciate that. It's a trap. Just go ahead and saddle up to me and start talking nice about Trump.
I couldn't be a broadcaster because you have to be kind of type A personality. I'm really too shy. I enjoy just reading books and learning languages, but, you know, getting on the mic, I'm too self-conscious. I get too nervous.
You know, I tell people that, you know, it just takes a little bit of getting used to use your voice. I've never done this in my life until this man got arrested. I mean, got elected, arrested. I'm dreaming.
Arrested, yeah.
He's arrested. He's institutionalized. That's his arrest.
Yes.
he's upwards.
He's an embarrassment to this country is what he is.
He is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, all right.
Well, starting in January and February, we're going to have to do a whole lot of walking and chewing gum at the same time together. Because there's a lot of shit to do, and it all starts with the truth and reconciliation, like we talked about Sunday, John, right?
It does.
Those hearings have to start immediately in February.
You get law and order after you give truth and justice. The people are...
We get card check passed. You get Taft-Hartley repealed. I mean, there's a lot of shit that needs to get done.
You know, people are excited for this election. We're desperately trying to get this man out of our house and the crime family that he has assembled inside this administration. They all of them got to go. And
the judges.
We're going to have a problem because judges is something that Mitch McConnell has been doing for years. It's his main drive because. They know everything that they've done is going to end up in the court sooner or later. They're trying to stack the courts in their own behalf.
Well,
I just want to mention about
Mitch McConnell. If you want to hear depressing news, Mitch is up by 15 points.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Amy.
Yeah, I know.
I saw a poll where he's only
Russian
up
money goes a long way in Kentucky, right?
Really?
Now.
Well, anybody that thinks that McGrath is going to win? No way she's not going to win. And I knew that when she got nominated. And to be honest with you, I think he's going to win again. I think Trump's going to win again. I hate to be the blow-up race sometimes.
I don't think so.
Already, but, you know, I don't know. I'm in a bad mood because I just waited 2 hours in traffic.
Well, I'm not going to discount your opinion because it's already happened to us once before. We all thought Hillary's going to win. We knew it. Yeah. I was just convinced of it.
Was that
and
you,
we're
John?
All
was
convinced
that
of Joe Biden?
Was that you, John? Who just said he's going to win?
I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm worried, man. With all this crap,
good. Stay worried and get people motivated as much as you can to be active in this.
I will remind you what the late Robert Byrd once said to me, and it has proven to be good advice. And this is after years of him never losing an election. He said, there are only two ways to run a political campaign, unopposed and scared to death.
Yep.
And anybody who's not running scared to death on our side is begging for disaster. There are a million ways. That, you know, what's worrisome is not that he is going to win the election, but that he will try to steal it.
I think that's pretty much a gimme right now. Look at the
post office. Look at the post office. You know, he's got his man running the post office now. He changed
to everybody who is going to be voting by mail this November. The day that you get your ballot, within 24 hours, fill it out, sign it, do sign the envelope, do what you have to do, and don't mail it. If at all possible, take it to your local registrar of voters, wherever the voting
is handled in your
jurisdiction, and hand deliver that fucker, and encourage others who are of our ilk to do likewise. Because on election night, to the extent that when a ballot comes in early, I believe in most places they tally those, but they hold back the number until election night. So to the extent that you can have ballots counted and ready to be reported, you're going to be better off in terms of coming up against Trump, who's going to try to sell a close outcome as being a victory for him. That's one way of him trying to steal it. You know, it just, he's going to try every, and his cohorts are going to try every fucking thing in the book, because he knows what's at stake. The question is, do we know what's at stake? And I hope we really do.
Well, so and by the way, a bit of an announcement here in a matter of minutes. It was revealed a little bit ago. There's going to be a special Friday night shit show live from Bedminster, New Jersey.
Oh God!
Oh no!
From his, you know, from his tacky ass country club in Jersey.
Gonna have another Klan rally right there.
Well, no, there's more to it than that.
Right.
The reporter Wei Jia Zhang has recently just tweeted a little bit ago. David in South Carolina, Stan, sent this along. A White House senior advisor says the text of two executive orders on a payroll tax cut and a moratorium on evictions is complete, so the president has the option to sign them at 7 p.m., but it's unclear if he will. We're going to see more and more and more of this filth. You know, a payroll tax cut.
Yeah, I'm cutting your taxes, definitely cutting your taxes.
The only thing is, if you don't have a fucking job right now, you don't get the payroll tax cut. Also, if the payroll, that he orders a payroll tax cut, it doesn't mean your employer has to give you that money. They can just hang on to it.
And you got to pay it back. There's that.
There's that. And the other part, the moratorium on evictions, well, you know, who doesn't want that? I mean, Nancy Pelosi said, yeah, that'd be a great idea. Go ahead, do that. But the other part of it is they he left town yesterday to go play golf some fucking more. He used to love golf. And he's absolutely ruined it for me.
But I've gone to shit to look down at
I love the pictures of him and his caddies spinning around on the lawns. There was a couple of them. They're really
greens. Greens, Otto. Greens.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm a non-golfer type, you know.
The lawn. The lawn is in front of the clubhouse.
On the greens.
but anyway, we're gonna get more and more of this as he tries to do things to make it look like he's trying to help Merca. The payroll tax cut is a direct assault on Medicare and Social Security at a time when people need it more than ever.
Bob, I do believe that your employer is going to have to give you half of that payroll tax cut, because the Social Security tax is like 15.4, 7.2 for you, and 7.2 for the employer. So if he cuts it, say, by 5%, you're going to have to get that 2.5%, and the employer keeps the other 2.5%.
Have you guys ever heard of Alex Lawson? He's of Social Security Works. He's the preeminent source that I always listen to when it comes to Social Security matters and what's going on with that. And yeah, he's completely against this. It doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
And it's not going to result in any meaningful amount of money, even if people have a job. And by the way, as far as delivering ballots, what Scott was talking about a minute ago, James in Illinois, who has spent considerable time in California, with a solid piece of advice: when you deliver your ballot, get a receipt. I've seen a Republican registrar in California who removed the receipt stub from all of his ballots under the premise of saving shelf space. Get proof, take video, let them know you're watching their asses.
Whoa. Wow.
That's the best thing you can do right now. If you can't do anything else, be a witness to everything you see. You know, it, well,
and,
it
yeah, exactly, John. And, you know, we've been talking, I've been talking about it in that regard with this program that, you know, we get together, we carry on, we have our fun, we what have you.
Right.
But we are also bearing witness to history as it happens.
There you go, baby. You know, I always say, Bob, that we are the ink in the pen that writes the story.
Exactly.
We're the ink. We got to, you know, this story goes the way we determine it will be.
We're bearing witness to history.
To be a witness to history.
That's it.
We're bearing witness to it, but we also have the capacity to impact the history that unfolds. And I don't think we realize our own power often. If you get your mind around the fact that you can be part of the solution, you can make a tangible difference, but it requires just a tiny bit of commitment to take that next step and to do it.
Well, I think I'm seeing more of that nowadays, Scott, with, you know, I sometimes try to relate the late 60s, early 70s to this time that we have now, whereas you have a larger amount of society itself in participation, involved, informed. You know, there's hardly anybody in our nation right now doesn't know what the hell's going on. You're either one side of the fence or you done drank the Kool-Aid over there and just listening to Laura Ingraham talking about they're coming to get your guns. Exactly. You know.
Yeah, and you know, Tucker Carlson, who a few days ago referred to Barack Obama eulogizing John Lewis as a greasy politician.
I heard that shit.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
You know.
Here in Portland, there's some underground activities and journalism going on to try to contact, trace the stormtroopers who were committing the criminal activities and the kidnappings and all that good stuff. And there's some efforts to try to identify those individuals.
Well, they'd best be careful because I have a story about that right here.
Okay, let's hear it. Okay.
It comes out of New Jersey. It's the story of a guy named Kevin Alfaro, who saw a masked cop playing all nicey with a counter-protester who had threatened Mr. Alfaro at a Black Lives Matter demonstration. So this is a white supremacist, and the cop is being real cozy with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pray tell.
So he takes a picture of the cop and tweets, "If anyone knows who this bitch is, throw his info under this tweet." He has now been charged with a felony.
Are you shit?
The four people who retweeted Mr. Alfaro have also been charged with a felony. The felony carries up to 18 months in prison and a $10,000 fine.
What's the charge?
The charge is cyber harassment.
Cyber harassment.
Yeah, and the complaint says that the poor little cop fears that harm will come to himself, family, and property. And this is the Nutley Police Department in New Jersey.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sets a hell of a precedent for Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and all these guys who, on a continual basis, put you know, liberals and Democrats in mortal danger.
Well, see, Mr. Alfaro, who's like 21 years old or so, said, "As a citizen exercising my First Amendment rights, I felt threatened that a public servant was befriending blatant racists."
Yeah.
That would concern me a little bit more.
Definitely. Consorting with the enemy, with the enemy combatants.
And Georgiana Sizek, who merely retweeted it without comment, said, "I am now at risk of giving up my career, serving time, and having a record. I'm upset that an officer claims he feels threatened and cyberbullied over me retweeting a tweet asking for his information. I feel that he's taking advantage of him being a cop and is putting me in a place of fear for his advantage." That's the world we live in.
Things come to mind.
Yeah, these are the
Can't
things.
Can we sue Trump?
Well, actually, yeah, you can, because there was another ruling coming out of the New York Supreme Court of Appeals, I believe, or Supreme Court, whatever level, that said that the lawsuit against him by the woman who said that he raped her at Bergdorf Goodman's back in the 1990s.
Yes, that's her name lawsuit, is,
that,
right?
That lawsuit goes forward, and she should be able to get the DNA sample from him that she has been seeking.
E. Jean Carroll.
And there is there's a black Donna Karan dress with spooge on it.
Yeah, it's the blue dress all over, baby.
It's the black blue dress. Yes.
Non-consensual. That's the difference. Yeah.
By the way, Nutley, New Jersey, Stephen, New York lets us know that's right across the Hudson from Chelsea, basically below Weehawken. I've been to Weehawken. But you know, these are the clampdown tactics that are going to be used, and these are the kinds of things that have to be fixed and fixed permanently. Yes. And that goes back to what, John, you were saying about the necessity of taking the presidency, taking the House, or maintaining the House and taking the Senate convincingly.
Yes, we have. It would be just outstanding if we could get a majority proof in the Senate.
But here's here's the thing. I mean, this is what's at stake. There are very few instances in American history where those sorts of things have happened and great progressive strides have been possible for we the people.
That's what we need.
One of them happens when all the conservatives leave the Congress during the Civil War. The only reason that you have state land-grant institutions, like my beloved alma mater, West Virginia University, is because of the Morrill Act, M-O-R-R-I-L-L, of, what, 1862? They tried to pass it out of the Congress before the Civil War, but all the slavers opposed it because they were they had conservative values, and government ain't got no business getting involved in seeing none of them dirt farmers get all edumacated. How are we going to stay rich and ride their asses if they're smart?
Hell yeah, we got to take advantage of that.
So with those assholes gone, you get all kinds of for the time progressive legislation in that moment of the Lincoln administration. It doesn't come around again until FDR takes office. And he gets a congressional majority in both houses, and you get Social Security. And you get the National Labor Relations Act.
That's what I mean. We have a moment.
You get the Rural Electrification Act. It happens again after the assassination of JFK. When LBJ is able to get the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the Great Society legislation that includes Medicare and relief for places like Appalachia passed, and then that goes away with the rise of Nixon, and
wait a minute, Bob. There seems to be a trend here.
There is.
Yeah.
And so that's what's at stake this time through. If you can get a strong Democratic majority in both houses, get the presidency, and get lucky with a couple of conservative Supreme Court justices, this country can change dramatically.
And it has to. Because if it doesn't, another 2 decades, 3 decades from now, Then another generation is going to have to face these same issues.
And climate change gets worse and worse and worse.
You know, not everybody in this country, you can make anything you want of yourself here in America. Well, you could, but it ain't going to happen for everybody. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And if we don't have a secure safety net, a secure society for everybody, we're just the serfs down here knocking it away for the king, baby. There's no difference in the shit. And, you know, so better laws to get yacht number 11, I guess.
Yeah. It's a moment that's worth seizing. Wouldn't you agree? It's a moment that's definitely worth seizing.
It will be what we make it, and we have to be aggressive. I say it all the time. I don't really want to reach across the aisle when we get this. I want to shove our agenda up their ass like they try to shove their agenda up ours.
No, where the maggots are concerned, these legitimate stone cold fascists. I want to do what the French did to the Vichy collaborators. I want to shave their heads and march them down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Point them out to everybody.
Yep.
This it will be what we make this to. You know what I mean? Yeah, that thing does that. It'll be what we make it.
Hey, Bob. Hey,
stand by. Y'all keep going. I'll be right back.
All
right. Well, maybe, you know, we breezed right past the judges, and I think that's really, really important. And I just wanted to ask the question. Remember what FDR did, right, when the conservative court was busting his balls over and over again? And he said, okay, fuckers, you want to play this, I'll just go ahead and expand the court. And then they piped down.
There is nothing saying the court has to remain at 9. We could go to 13. Hell, we could go to any number we want.
We could do 15.
Let's roll them all out there, baby.
For 100 years, we could have a permanent liberal majority, right? It's
not only the Supreme Court that has bothered me over the years that since he's got in and before when Obama was in. It is Mitch McConnell's absolute desire to stack as much of the federal courts as he can, and that's what he's been doing. Mitch's book, The Long Game, is exactly that. His vision of because, in my view, the Republicans, as usual, in my opinion, every time you get a Republican come into office, things go to shit. Next time Democrats in, well, y'all clean that up. And we do. And it's a cycle that we go through. And it's going to happen this time again. As soon as they're out of office, they're going to start whining about, look at the deficit, look at the debt we have and all this crap. You know, they lose that when they're in there robbing the coffers.
And they're rat-fucking the census, too, and there's that.
How about that?
And anybody who's been around for a while, I would say over 60 years or thereabouts, if they paid attention, they can look back and see these patterns and these cycles.
Exactly.
And anybody who's not all that old, even if they have a car with automatic transmission, D for Democrat and for drive, that is to say moving forward, R for Republican or reverse, which means going backwards.
It's a pretty good analogy.
It is really.
And it is. Looking back, I'm 67 years old. A lot of us are in our 60s or something. And we can. I can distinct my first Commander-in-Chief was Nixon. So I can look all the way back through my adult life from my military career, right from Nixon on up. And I watched this cycle. To me, Nixon was a disgrace and an embarrassment. But when Reagan came along, baby, oh, things changed.
Yeah.
It was trickled down, and we're going to rob the bank. And it has been that ever since Reagan came in. With every Republican that has come into office, they raid the coffers. They run the debt up out of the roof and create a big, great big deficit and then leave and then immediately start complaining in the House and the Senate about these Democrats need to clean this up. We can't survive this.
Well,
and it's a cycle.
The insidious thing about it, John, is when they are in the majority, they don't govern worth a damn. They cater to their
because they
interests.
Don't believe in governance.
I know.
Every time Republican gets in office, it's for one fucking thing. It's to pay off their donors and big corporations. It's make money, baby. Social programs, not so much.
Okay, so I got another one here. And by the way, we've got just a little bit to go to finish the week, less than $100. So that would be huge if we could do that.
It only survives because y'all's donations, baby. I tell you that.
That's the truth.
Bob's voice, my voice, and others only survive on this shit because of the donors that are out there that chip in five, ten, whatever it is you can give. And, you know, if it's a dollar.
Put me down for another five, Bob. I'll.
You've got a Patreon page, right, Bob?
There's a Patreon page, and it's under the contribute tab at HeadOn.live. The interface for PayPal's right there.
If you can, you know, even if it's the minimum donation, a lot of my Blue Dot family members give a dollar a month, baby. It's the numbers that add up and pay those monthly bills. This shit you can't do for free. Bob's time, you know, he's doing this so you can't run out and go, you know, work at Joe's tire shop over here to make a few extra bucks or whatever.
Believe me, you don't want me working anywhere near anything mechanical.
They don't want me down there no more, Bob. But again, I appeal to the whole family to step up.
Put me down for five. I'll send it now.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Thank you very kindly.
What is the number, Bob?
I got a little lost. I know it's under $100.
Yeah, that'd be a short step for a stepper if that was divided.
Yeah, I think at this point, given what James in Illinois did and what Scott did, that we can say $85 and we're done.
It's the most humbling thing anybody has to do that does this stuff is to admit that it takes money to do it. Bob does not want to ask you. I don't want to ask anybody for anything. But if you don't have the funds to keep the lights on and keep the damn microphone turned on, then the voice goes away.
Right, and
just wait a minute.
Roger speaks.
Okay? Yeah, go, Roger.
If you make that $85 in the next 30-40 minutes, I'll put $100 on top of it.
Outstanding.
Wow. That would be fantastic, Roger. Wow, thank you.
So we need somebody to step up and let's make that $85 real quick, and make Bob a little more comfortable. I come on here and I talk like this because I am well aware of the fact that it is the worst thing that Bob likes to do is to bring up money. But like I say, without the money, without paying the bills, the voice goes away. And the voices like Bob's in West Virginia, and my voice here in Texas, the rural areas, we are speaking for I'm nobody. I tell people all the time, I'm nobody. I'm a guy that lives at the end of the freaking street. But I'll use my voice. And Bob has got a much bigger platform and a bigger voice and is much more intelligent. Not nearly.
Nah, you can just quit that shit.
But it is important. So step up if you
can. And John, and by the way, we are at there's $35 left thanks to our pals. Scott there. Oh no, Scott, I already calculated. Jeremy jumped back in. Thank you, Jeremy. And our pal Sailor Chick jumped in, and Rico in DeBerg.
I appreciate y'all so
jumped
much.
In.
I really do.
And there's
I appreciate it.
And there's so it's $30 now. Terrace just jumped in. James jumped in. That makes it $25.
I just put a $10 challenge, Bob.
And woo! So $25. Steve will double the next 10 that comes in, and that'll leave us at $5. So that's freaking awesome.
That is awesome, family. That is
and you know the one other thing I wanted to bring up, John, and I don't know if you ever think in these terms. Fundraising like this is a pain in the ass.
It is.
And it's a little bit humiliating.
Indeed,
a little bit. because you know, I'd like to just be independently wealthy and just do it and, you know, never say a word.
Yeah. Ain't happening, Bob.
Right.
Get your lotto ticket.
Yeah, exactly. But the other side of that is, if you listen to commercial radio, doesn't it insult your intelligence a little bit when you're asked to buy super beats? Or you're told these broad brush lies about the miracle qualities of Alabama sex clams, or, you know, whatever it is.
Sex clams.
You know, whatever the pitch of the day is.
Steve from Georgia, have you ever bought any Plexiderm yet?
Oh.
Plexiderm. That's all you hear on the liberal talk shows.
I got called by an advertiser who was thinking about advertising on my show, and he was really pressing me on the product. But Mr. Ritter, what would you do if you just did not like the product? If you thought that the product that we gave you, I mean, what would you say about that? And mind you, it was about a mattress, and I just said to guys, well, shit, I guess if I hated it that much, I'd just tell him I cut it up, put it on the floor for the dogs. Never heard from him again.
Jenny ate it, yeah.
You mean it wasn't Manscaped?
No, it was a mattress company, and they wanted to advertise, do a little advertising. We'll work it in to where you could just talk about it like it's on your show. Yeah, this family ain't stupid, you know.
Bob, that
wow, John, somebody's that wait, John. Somebody's actually approached you.
Yes, I got approached. I did. I don't know. They must have been lost. I don't know how they found my ass. But, yes, a guy was on the phone with me, and he said, well, if you like the product, if we just would like for you to talk about it. You know, if we give you a mattress and you like the mattress, just come out and tell the people you like the mattress and tell the people what kind of mattress it is, and that's all. It'll be great. We'll send you a mattress. And that sounds nice. And then he started. But what if you didn't like it that much? What would you be saying? I'd be kind. I wouldn't be rude or anything. You just gave me a mattress and everything. And then he pushed it. But if you really didn't like it, well, then I guess I'd tell him I cut it up and put it on the floor for the dogs. I'm not going to lie to the people that are supporting
me. And the dogs wouldn't even pee on it.
And the dogs pushed it off of the cats, and the cats pissed on it. What do you want me to tell you?
And in a way, it's kind of like Consumer Reports. You know, they accept no advertising, yada, yada, yada. One of the things I enjoy out of this program is when I find something I really like, being able to share it and talk about it and have everybody know that this is simply my earnest opinion.
We'll try to work it into this conversation.
You don't have to like it, but I do, and that's why the Shiny Heiny has become a part of our daily cleansing routine here at the fabulous Kincaid Mansion.
And where else are you going to find such fine entertainment? I am telling you, please do your best. Donate if you can. It's hard times for everybody, but if you can dig a buck out, it keeps Bob's voice on the air. And like I said, where are you going to find such fine entertainment?
So is Plexiderm just packaged shiny hiney cream? Is that what it is?
I'm telling you about that shiny hiney.
Plexiderm.
I tried.
Plexiderm, Chris, is the polish for the polishing head of the shiny hiney.
Okay.
Now available with bleach.
Just like hydrochloroquine.
With an added light. I'm telling you, can't find
anywhere. Who would pay $1,000 for an office chair, John?
What's that?
Who would pay $1,000 for an office chair?
Somebody with more dollars than cents.
Yeah. God damn, that thing better scratch my ass when it itches, man.
Worth a whole lot of money is what I don't know, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, we've passed new broadcast chair time here in the fabulous Horn Studios. That 2 microns thick layer of alleged leather that was over this seat wore off a long time ago, to the point now that when I walk into the bedroom at the end of the program, often I turn I'll be getting ready to climb up onto the bed, and Agnes will look at me and say, no, stop, wait. I go, okay. Turn around. This is getting frightening. And she starts picking little flecks of 2 micron thick leather specks off of me because they've come off the chair and stuck to my hide.
Is your chair shedding?
That sounds like a good commercial, Bob.
I don't think it qualifies.
One of those Amazon basic chairs. They'll after a couple of years they'll start shedding.
This is more like a peeling.
We went
from shedding, Sparky, to this is more like a peeling sunburn.
Yeah, and then
I can see that. I can see that at 3 in the morning on QVC, Bob. You and Agnes.
I got one of them ones that swivel and rock and all that shit.
I'll tune in for that.
Well, I don't.
This thing that I sit in, Bob, I got pillows on it to keep me comfortable. But I love to sit in it. It was my father's chair.
If you put in the keyword Bob, you get 10% off that $1,000.
10% off if you mention Bob.
Use the promotional code Naked Radio Shiny Heiny.
We're Naked Radio? Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Hold on, I got to get all this shit off. God damn.
I don't know about $1,000 for an office chair. I don't care how goddamn adjustable that chair is. Unless it does something special to my nether region.
Unless there's a happy end involved.
It better have an attachment.
You're not getting $1,000 out of me, baby.
unless it's a happy ending chair, yeah, I'll sit somewhere else.
Yeah,
I'll sit
that bad chair with smiles on my face. Yeah, ladies' version also included. No extra charge.
Comedy off center.
I've been checking along. We're at 7:30 now, and apparently they still can't find Nitwit Nero to come out and do his thing.
They ran out of Adderall. No more Adderall.
Well, I think they're probably trying to find one of those treat single edged razor blades to chop it up on the mirror for him.
Yeah, the YouTube live stream is just President Snort a lot starting soon from the White House.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking at the tech guys who are crawling around on the floor. At least they're wearing masks, and they're hooking up a pair of video monitors back behind the podium.
He likes to make a dramatic. He likes to be late. He's, you know, fashionably late. That's funny. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, Jeremy just said subject line radio. And there you have it, Bob. You've managed at 7:28 p.m. to work on naked radio without saying it, still killing the dinner snack hour internet-wide. Yeah, it happens.
Let the breeze blow, baby.
And a thank you to our buddy Thomas Jugapunch. Thank you to Barbara. Thank you to our buddy Texas T, and thank you one and all. Thank you, Roger, for the little challenge there. Thank you, Steve, for your challenge. It's all met, and we're all done.
Outstanding, woo-hoo, family. Outstanding. That means a whole lot to Bob. I know it does.
It means another Friday night miracle.
It's another Friday night community made miracle.
It's a miracle, and so say it.
Hey, I got now. You know, the term they call economics the dismal science, but I saw this story earlier today, and I think it worthy of our attention. And don't laugh at the headline. The story comes from the Montgomery Advertiser down in Alabama. Alabama economist: U.S. needs $1 trillion stimulus per month through June of next year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
$1 trillion a month.
Wow. Yeah.
For and, a year.
Yeah. And I mean, still got a job and everything. That's this is the number one research economist in the entire University of Alabama system.
$1 trillion a month.
Yeah. And he refers them to them as his humble calculation.
Humble.
He's a research economist and the associate dean of the University of Alabama School of Economics. His name is Sam Addy, A-D-D-Y. And he was actually involved in a conversation with Doug Jones, the senator.
From Alabama.
When he said...
I heard he's way down in the polls.
He is. But that's kind of the point of all this. He says we need $1 trillion a month.
Now, what kind of lifestyle are we going to be living here for $1 trillion a month there, Bob?
Well,
I mean, you know,
here's what he said. Here's what he said.
Every freaking day.
In a shiny, hiney.
In every, yes, a shiny, hiney in every pot. This is the kind of stimulus this country needs to sustain us while shit continues to fall apart. He said, my humble calculation is that in this survival mode, we really need to be operating at about $1 trillion a month injection into this nation's economy. We are a $21 trillion GDP economy, but at $1 trillion a month, we will be able to ensure that the people, our resources, and our institutions survive this pandemic so that we can address recovery and then get back into development phase later. And this whole thing sort of shocked Doug Jones. And he said, Dr. Addy, let me make sure I understand what you just said. You're saying $1 trillion a month or just another $1 trillion? And he said, $1 trillion a month, Senator. And I know that if I put every stimulus package so far together and even add the proposed HEROES Act to it, we'll be at roughly $6.7 trillion running out to June 2021. And he said, the federal government only injected about half of what was needed back during the Great Recession. We fucked that up, too. We could have been in a better place if we had done what was optimal then, and that's what I'm advocating that we shoot for now. And he talked about the state of Alabama trying to handle unemployment claims. And he said, from mid-March to the end of July, the state processed about 400,000 of 690,000 claims filed by people who lost their jobs because of the pandemic. Then the claims office itself, unemployment, lost two-thirds of its staff to cutbacks before the pandemic hit.
Jesus.
And including the $600 unemployment boost, including the $600 unemployment boost that has now run out.
Oh, Jesus, Bob.
Oh, no. What?
They held to the chief, and he's out there, and it's, oh, geez.
Is he naked? No. Have we gotten to it yet? No. Are we there?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it started.
Well, why? Okay, there it is. Yeah, here we go. But the bottom line is, this economist is right. And meanwhile, you got a bunch of no-good, godless, soulless, motherless Republicans up there saying, well, I don't think him layabout, lazy-ass working people need another goddamn dime. Hand me another jug of caviar over there, would you? I'm feeling a little snacky.
Yeah.
I'm a little hangry. A little hangry. I need me some caviar.
I think one of the loudest people talking about that was Wayne LaPierre.
And oddly enough, Ron in Raleigh points out, $1 trillion a month is about what Medicare for All would cost. Steve in New York says, but all that free money will cause working people to not want to work.
Yeah, they just quit. Everybody quits and the whole thing shuts down. You know, the $1 trillion a month doesn't scare me until you start throwing in the politicians we have now. The money that the first stimulus package went went through pretty quick. Everybody was real, you know, let's gung-ho, and I don't think we even found out where $500 billion of it went because they won't.
Well, right, that's the thing. Dr. Addy is not talking about another great horse gag and wad of cash for Jerry Falwell.
You give these Republicans money right now, and it's not going to your ass. It's not going to improve your life one bit. It's going to go to, oh, my God, we have to save this business, that business. The money that disappeared the first time went to corporations and businesses that have lawyers and accountants and everything else. This should not go down here to the mom-and-pop stores down on the street. These people are still suffering out here. That money was snatched up by people who really didn't need the money but had an insight into, hey, I know how to get it.
Yeah.
And it goes to those who get it. And
the Ayn Rand Institute got it, John.
I'm telling you, there's a list of these.
That's the poster child for all of this, the Ayn Rand Institute.
This shit's getting delusional, Bob, really bad.
Do we need to cut to it, Sparky?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I wanted to hear it. He's talking about how 1 million over the past 3 months, and that's also a record. That's a job record. African-American, 1 million, it's a job record. We must ensure that the progress continues. My administration has enacted over $3 trillion in historic relief since China allowed the virus to infect the world. So we've contributed $3 trillion. My administration continues to work in good faith to reach an agreement with Democrats in Congress that will extend unemployment benefits, provide protections against evictions. A terrible thing happens with evictions. Not fair. It wasn't their fault that we were infected with this disease from China, and get relief to American families. Yet, tragically, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer continue to insist on radical left-wing policies that have nothing to do with the China virus, nothing to do with it at all. So you have a virus that comes in, and you have people in Congress that don't want to help our people. If Democrats continue to hold this critical relief hostage, I will act under my authority as president to get Americans the relief they need. And what we're talking about is deferring the payroll tax for a period of months till the end of the year, and I could extend it at a certain period. Hopefully, I will be here to do the job. We're going to do the job. We've been doing a job like nobody could. Nobody would, actually. And so we're going to have the payroll tax go till the end of the year, and that's it'll be retroactive to July 1st. So we're going to go back to July 1st, and it'll go to the end of the year, payroll tax. At the end of the year, it may be extended.
We're going to Now, what's important here is the fact that there's a whole bunch of his own party in the House and the Senate going, no, this is a terrible idea. I'm not going to vote for it. I'm not going to sign on to it. And frankly, he can't, well, he shouldn't be able to do it with an executive order.
Yeah. No, because the executive can make all the suggestions that it wants, helpful or not. It's the Congress that doles out the money. And, you know, unless they've revived the fucking Trump Foundation and that book of rubber checks, you know, it ain't going to happen. It's in his head.
Well, Stephen New York says he's terrified. He's fucking terrified. He can feel the handcuffs around his wrist.
Yes, he is. And the more terrified he gets, the more desperate shit he's going to pull out of his ass.
Yep.
This afternoon, I spoke with President Aoun of Lebanon to inform him that three large aircraft are on the way, and they're fully loaded, with medical supplies, food, water, and many other things. Lots of emergency equipment. Also, first responders, technicians, doctors, and nurses are on their way. This was an event like the world has not seen for a long time. Horrible event. We'll be having a conference call on Sunday with President Macron, leaders of Lebanon, and leaders from various parts of the world. Everyone wants to help. We spoke to a lot of people. They all want to help. The United States is with authorities on
slowing the driveway
ground right now in Lebanon to identify further health and humanitarian needs, and we will provide further assistance in the period to come. We're working very closely with their government and with their leaders. And on behalf of the United States, I want to extend our condolences to all of the families, a much larger number of families than anybody would have thought and than anybody at first thought.
Yep.
But all of those families who lost loved ones, relatives, friends in this horrible tragedy, we stand firmly with the people of Lebanon and will continue to offer our full support through this very difficult time. We have not seen anything like this in a long time. As you know, earlier this week, I met with American workers at the Tennessee Valley Authority who have been laid off by the leadership at the Tennessee Valley
Authority. Totally stream of consciousness.
As you know, this is...
or unconsciousness.
A form of utility. It's been around for a long time, since FDR. And the head person, not controlled by government, but it's sort of semi-public in a sense, gets paid the highest salary in the world of government.
Huh?
He gets $8 million a year. That's not a bad amount of money.
What?
$8 million a year. And we are not accepting that, even though we're not the ones that appoint him or her, but in this case, him.
We're not accepting that somebody in my pocket.
Who made $8 million a year. This has been going on for many years. And we will do something about that, and we're already in negotiations right now, including possible termination. They and hundreds of their fellow American tech workers, the workers at the TVA, were being terminated from their positions on top of all of this and on top of the $8 million salary and a chief of staff who makes much more than $1 million a year. But on top of all that, they were being terminated from their positions.
These
incredible people. In order to train the lower-cost foreign workers imported to replace them. How's that for a law? And this was set up originally to create jobs and economic development. And now they're getting fired, and they're supposed to train people for a much lower, who get a much lower salary. It's crazy.
Hey, Bob, can we set up a drinking game where every time he says "very" or "people," somebody has to take a shot?
There wouldn't be a so. Look, there's only 16 minutes left in the program. We'd all be tanked by 10 till 8.
People are saying.
Oh, and by the way,
read the book, read the manual.
Stephen, New York, in regard to what he was babbling about Lebanon, said, doctors, equipment, and other stuff. And Steve says, I wonder if Lebanon's going to get our PPE ventilators and other emergency equipment. I hear they're sending many loads of covfefe, which only the Yosemites know how to grow. We're sending the plumpest, juiciest chickens from Thailand.
That's Donnie. Yeah. That's Donnie.
Apparently, we're not doing any great good for our buddy Matt in San Francisco. Who let Grandpa out of the institution, and how did he get the podium?
Yeah, grab white coats.
Oh,
Garden guys. Yeah, you ever wish it could just be like a big hook? You know, like in the vaudeville days, when the big hook would just come out.
Yeah, na 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 na. Rip.
That's it. There's the guys with the nets.
Oh, God.
Big butterfly
net. The show.
Coming to take me away.
Media was covering it. They love the Tennessee Valley Authority. And they're so proud to work for it. But this happened, and it was a terrible thing. So now they're going to get their jobs back. They're all going to be getting their jobs back.
With promotion and a raise.
Nearly every nation on Earth continues to combat the virus.
Department of the Interior.
A number of countries are seeing a surge in new cases, including Japan, the Philippines, major parts of Europe. That's cases continue to surge in Latin America. It's right now the most infected place anywhere in the world. They've more than doubled in recent days.
Latin
America is doing very little testing. They're not really equipped to do that. It's tough. In the United States, more than 80% of jurisdictions report declining cases. We're doing very well. You don't hear that too often from the media, but we're doing very well. We have a very large country, very complex country in a sense. More than half of America's counties
complex in a sense.
Fewer than 20 cases last week. So if you look at that, more than half of America's counties report fewer than 20 cases last week. But we have to remain vigilant. We're doing very well, but we have to remain vigilant. Nationally, the percentage of emergency room visits with
emergency
the coronavirus
room.
Symptoms is down to almost half what it was in July. The southern states that were very strong hotspots not long ago, Arizona, Texas, Florida, continued to show significant improvement, including increased availability of
curiously, I was mentioning how the next hotspot is Mississippi. You'll notice that didn't get mentioned.
Of coronavirus inpatients. Since mid-June, it's gone. The governor
mid-June.
Was and we had a great meeting.
That's above Jones' thighs, land.
And the meeting was
mid-June.
Perfect. But since mid-June, they're doing well, and it's going down, heading down very rapidly. Texas
July.
Is stabilizing and improving.
Mid-July.
Some progress in the Rio Grande Valley and other communities along the border with Mexico that had shown the biggest increases in hospitalizations and deaths. Florida is also stabilizing. Its statewide positive test rate continues to decrease from 13% on July 23rd to 8%.
And testing, of course, is down north of 3%, so there's that.
It's going down. It's heading down actually quite rapidly. And even Miami, which was the hottest spot in Florida, is heading downward. But Florida has done very well.
Oh, there we go. Steve got it. Steve in New York. Mid-June, right by April, May, and Margaret.
A very rapid
drop. I give him a dog.
New Jersey and New York remain stable with less than 1% of emergency room visits due to the China virus. The illness took a devastating toll on both states, as you know. While both states really took the brunt of the infection earlier this year, thankfully, we have not seen a resurgence. They've been doing a good job. Everybody's working very hard. Both governors are working very, very hard.
Where are the guys in the white coats with the butterfly net? Come on.
Wait a minute. Matt in San Francisco says, in a sense, if only he had some.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Has provided extraordinary support of people, equipment, medical supplies to the people of New Jersey.
Bob, he's just fucking spitballing, says Steve in New York.
Jack Kerouac couldn't follow this.
No, no. I mean, I could deliver a rendition of Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll right now that would make more sense than this.
Well, look at the text of the chat room. I just sent a picture of the GOP talking points that he's using. That poor intern. That poor elephant. I mean, look at the photo. Photographic evidence.
Yeah. Well, he's a job creator, I guess. If anything else.
Jesus. Say it. Hey, Scott. Say it. Say it, Scott.
We're all screwed, Bob. I'll tell you something. If you had a wife or a husband or a child or an aunt or an uncle or a friend or a coworker who was as off the twig as this fucker is, you would have them committed.
Absolutely.
You would have the men in the white jacket.
And, you know, a real live, honest-to-God Harvard psychiatrist has said that, Bandy Lee.
Yeah. And you don't, I mean, I barely made it through high school. You don't have to have a degree in anything to, you know, it's like Red Fox, that noted political observer once said, when you can read the handwriting on the wall, you're in the toilet. And that's exactly where we are.
And Brother Deacon Asa just said, that mofo sounds like he's wasted. Bob, how much Adderall can one ape snort in an afternoon?
State of New Jersey. 20. In emergency relief funding. So we happen to be in New Jersey right now. So those are great numbers. The governor's working
very
hard.
How does he know where he is?
Governor Jesus. Murphy's doing a good job. We're working.
You can't say that, Jonathan. How do you know we're in New Jersey?
$1 billion to New Jersey hospitals and health care facilities.
It's on the paper in front of
me. And through the paycheck protection.
And Robert in Australia, who, along with Ralps and our anonymous friend, got us started toward actually toward the community made miracle this evening. Notes the presidential debates are going to be a hoot based on this performance, which is kind of an interesting point. It is an interesting point because they're pitching a hissy. The maggot campaign is. They've demanded a fourth and earlier debate, which is kind of interesting. Because they want a debate in early September. Now, why would they possibly want that? Right. And the Commission on Presidential Debates said, nah, fuck off.
So wait, why September? I didn't catch that. Before school starts? Or I didn't.
No, before ballots are sent out.
Oh, okay.
And it's magic vaccine too. Don't forget.
Oh yeah, that's coming.
Right.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, he wanted. And I'm here tonight during this debate, which I'm definitely winning. Because Sleepy Joe, I'm announcing our new Lysol hydroxychloroquine vaccine.
don't forget the. Bob, now wait a minute.
Yeah, TV up on November 3rd.
Don't forget the black light bulb up the ass.
Well, no. Get them. No, we're going to inject. We've got special syringes, and they're going to inject ultraviolet light because that's in the vaccine, too.
Shoot. Well, that's better than I heard. I heard that's going to stick lightning bulbs, lightning bugs up your butt.
That'd tickle. Them little fireflies would tickle. Them little fireflies would tickle some.
Oh man!
You have to have a shiny hiney because of the light. The vaccine, though, that's the key.
Oh, by the way, I had a note from Jack and I had a note from Jack in Shreveport a couple of minutes ago. I'm still wondering if anybody else caught shiny hiney in every pot. Pot usually
shiny,
meant
in every pot.
Yeah, pot.
There will not be a dirty ass in America. We promise. That this country will clean its shit up.
Well, that's what that's what Jack in Shreveport said. Pot usually meant the pot on the stove, but you used it in a different way.
America needs more white assholes. Wait. That's what we need.
That's pretty good.
as I light my pipe. Go ahead and say that shit.
Yep. And then Matt in San Francisco is desperate for some sort of relief. Matt says, maybe if I drop some brown acid, he still wouldn't make sense. There ain't enough. You could eat a whole pan of boxcar brownies, drop 5 hits of orange sunshine, make a psilocybin mushroom pizza, and smoke 18 zombie cicadas. It wouldn't help.
You could do all that, Bob, and still look at him and go, that guy's fucked up.
Yeah, and still look at him and go, soberer than you.
Yeah.
Saner than you.
We are properly represented.
This reminds me.
And properly taken care of. This follows a series of executive orders to lower drug prices and lower prescription drug prices. And significantly, we had the only year, which was last year, where drug prices went down in 51 years. But we're talking about going down at a level that nobody has even thought possible now.
Good.
Even though
Adderall is going to be cheaper if you buy it by the boxcar lot, for Christ's sake.
Hell, look how much hydroxychloroquine he sold.
Jesus Christ, I'm telling you. My sophomore year in high school, I took a final geometry exam the morning after the night before dropping a purple microdot of lysergic acid. And that made more sense. I mean, the fucking hypotenuse is dancing around the page of the test made more sense than this crazy fucker. Jesus. Is that the proper
plural of
hypotenuse?
I want to meet your crazy hypotenuse, Scott. Yeah, I want to meet your crazy hypotenuse.
Yep, I tried. Not enough joke to make him sound good. I tried.
Obtuse angles doing the can.
Oh, my God. Wait. Steve has found a new thing. Steve in New York has found a new thing.
New thing?
Yeah, it's from poopourri.com. Not potpourri. Poopourri. POOPOURRI.com. We're poopourri. A poop-positive brand dumping the shame around the things we all do. We deliver quality products made with natural essential oils that leave the bathroom smelling amazing and liberate you from harmful ingredients and inhibiting worries. After all, it's only magic. Spritz the bowl before you go to create a barrier on the water's surface that traps number 2 odor below. Proceed with your business as usual. All anyone will smell is a refreshing blend of natural essential oils. Now you and your potty guests can leave the toilet smelling better than you found it. Best smellers, lavender vanilla, tropical hibiscus, pink citron, original citrus.
That's too close to my name.
Ah, roses.
My last name is Citro.
Royal flush. That's eucalyptus and spearmint.
I'm okay.
Extra suppositories.
I'm deeply disturbed because there's not a patchouli. Or a poop
chewy.
There's
chewy.
Not a
Kincaid. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Shit.
No,
ask for it by name.
Everybody wants to have O de Britivo. Yeah.
What?
O de Britivo. Where's that sent, John?
That smells.
You can be the spokesman.
Yeah. Yeah. You're tired of smelling shit every time your president opens his mouth.
Is it coming, Yosemite Pine?
Yosemite
Pine. Start bottling Jenny's flatulence, John.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. Yeah.
Start bagging up her shit and sending it to him. My donkey makes more sense than you do.
Your donkey's ass makes more sense.
It's prettier.
My donkey's smarter than the ass, and you are in the head, Donnie.
My donkey's ass is prettier than him. I love this little meme they got out there on Facebook. I just seen a little while ago, and it was a picture of Jimmy Carter out there jogging. Had a picture there of Daddy Bush out there jogging. Had a picture of Clinton out there jogging. OW's out there jogging. Obama's out there jogging. And there's Donnie the Dick Blood sitting there on a park on the bench out on the golf course, with all hunkered down with that red hat on, the white shirt with his big gut hanging over.
Yeah, you left out his 50. You left out his 52 B's.
52, yes, they're right there. Take a look at that, Marcus. That man needs a bra. Bro bra. Send it to the president.
There goes he needs dinner for the weekend.
Get him one of them buttery soft bras I keep seeing advertised on TV.
Where in the hell are you looking at your advertising at you with these?
Don't ask.
Well, my,
don't ask.
Lactator-in-chief.
I can swear by the buttery soft bra, friends, because my nipples look like Marty Feldman looking at you the wrong way.
Dear God.
You're going to find some entertainment.
I think you just fucked over brunch in Hawaii, Scott.
Going around the town.
No
zones,
boy today.
Hit them all. You really can eat that after hearing that? No, I wasn't going to think about
it. No boy for the Hawaiians.
Ay, ay, ay. Hey, it's been a fantastic conversation, y'all. We've been all over the place. It's been something. And I want to thank y'all for joining in. John, you have yourself a good weekend. Say hi to the Blue Dot family for us. And thank you to Ralphs and our anonymous friend and Robert in Australia and everybody who responded to all the challenges and Steve and Alma. Thank you all so very much. We made it to the end of the week. We will survive to fight again next week. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who helped keep the program on the air with your subscriptions via PayPal, Patreon, a la carte contributions, combinations of all of the above. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky and the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves for Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, a brand new edition of Malloy headed your way in about 58 minutes right here on HeadOn.live, the best place for truth seekers to gather and listen to Malloy. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, the front porch conversation walks around Sparky's place and becomes Sparky's back porch. Well, right now, if you'd like to join in, feel free. It's a rousing, rollicking conversation. Thank you for your challenge, Roger, in Oregon. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And wherever you are, grocery store, DMV, oil change place, post office, gas station, Rippy Mart, doesn't matter. Wear your mask. Wear your gloves. Keep your hand sanitizer close at hand. See what I did there? Maintain your social distance, and above all, if you see somebody burbling about keeping the murk great, or the Democrat hoax, or the China flu, or any of that silly, ignorant, hateful horse shit, avoid them like the plague. Because, well, they are. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.